WGNU.
With the Bloomberg Urban Report, I'm Erickson Blakeney. Jaguar, a unit of Ford, is planning to cut production by about as much as 7% in 2006 to lower costs and stem losses, according to the Wall Street Journal. Losses at Jaguar have been a drag on the bottom line at Ford's premier automotive group, made up of four Europe-based luxury brands, Volvo, Land Rover, and sports car maker Aston Martin. Jag's continuing problems come as Ford prepares a restructuring plan, including job cuts and plant closings. Dell, which became the world's number one personal computer maker by selling direct to customers on its website, is offering some PCs in Costco stores. This is the first time in more than a decade the company put its products in stores. The deal with Costco may be a test as Dell looks for new ways to boost earnings after posting its slowest sales growth in more than 3 years last quarter. And British Airways plans to eliminate almost 600 top management jobs after higher fuel costs reduced quarterly earnings. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or an investment diamond, then shop around. Get your best price, then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10 days no obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest price diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
That's the Bloomberg Urban Report. I'm Erickson Blakeney.
You don't tamper with a classic, but you can refine it. And that's what we've done this year with the 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party. We've trimmed the time to 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th. We've made it an easy drive to Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves, free parking on site and across the street. We've made it cozier with seating limited to a maximum of 500 guests. We've made it family-friendly with buffet-style foods included in the ticket price of $10 per person. We've kept the sweet and sassy dancers and the Jerry Stretz professional dancers and added the DJ playing great music from Complete Music Company, plus fabulous door prizes and a drawing for a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are $5 each. The only thing missing will be you. Don't be left out. Order tickets from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Cathy at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, the newest edition of a St. Louis classic.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Thank you.
Everyone at WGNU extends congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communication Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists, Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake-Up Call, and with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update. Congratulations, Liz, from your friends and colleagues at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. Please do not beg for your power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome to Good Morning. This is the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Good morning. Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about, and I apologize for those of you that want a global assessment this morning, but I got to go local, and let me expand global. Let me move off of a local issue to a national issue. And if you hear a lot of pausing and a bit of stumbling this morning, it's because I am really, really, really trying not to cuss this morning. I really am. Because I cussed till I got tired last night after I found out about this. So hold my hand. Pray for me. And Howard, watch the button, because this is messed up. This is messed up. We may have to do a 7-second delay on me. because this is messed up. I got this invitation. I didn't get it. Somebody else got it and brought it to me. This cheap little cardboard, black and white, folded over, kind of like an invitation, the size of an invitation card. On the front of it is a picture of Rosa Parks. It's almost like a picture, a coin, if you will. A smiling Rosa Parks, looked to be in her 70s or so. At the top of it, it says Rosa Parks, and the bottom part of the circle says Mother of the Modern Day Civil Rights Movement. And I look at this in terms of printing capabilities today. It's so easy to make stuff look nice right now. It's not like back in the day, and back in the day, what, 5 years ago? Back in the day, what, 10 years ago? Where it was relatively expensive to print up things like this. In today's society, a black and white invitation like this, black and white, is bull. It's trifling. It's disrespectful. It's cheap. It's disrespectful. It's cheap, and it's trifling. All three words sum up the political atmosphere and the administration of Francis Slay. The political atmosphere of the city of St. Louis. The administration of Francis Slay. And the pitiful, trifling, sorry NAACP in the city of St. Louis. You open up this pitiful, disrespectful, cheap, trifling invitation. And what it says is the top of the invitation says, the Honorable Francis Slay and the St. Louis branch of the National Association for the Advancement of, you know what I'm talking about, NAACP. So, first of all, Francis Slay gets top billing on this trifling piece of crap. NAACP puts him first, as the NAACP in the city of St. Louis does. Cordially invite you and a guest to celebrate the memory and achievements of Rosa Parks, the mother of modern day, of the mother of the modern civil rights movement. And here's a line that is just trippy to me. Lord, I cussed so much last night. I'm so sorry. I have to apologize, even though y'all didn't hear me. It was so bad. A celebration of diversity in her honor. What the heck? What did Rosa Parks do that was diverse? She told racist white people, I will not be treated poorly. I will not be treated outrageous. Your laws. I ain't moving to the back of the bus. I ain't moving to the back of the bus. What's diverse about that? Was it white people that boycotted the bus system for a year? What's diverse about that? You trying to white out? The NAACP tries to white out the achievements of African people in the city of St. Louis. Ain't nothing diverse about what Rosa Parks did. Celebrate the action of an African woman who said no to racism. Ain't nothing diverse about that. It's black, it's white, and it's white racism. So Frances Slay and the NAACP in the city of St. Louis lets him, encourages him, gives him top billing. It's going to try to turn this into a political campaign for his sorry, trifling, racist behind. And I ain't done yet. I ain't done yet. The celebration in diversity happens today. You want to hear the diverse part of it? The diverse part of it is white folks get the money, black folks become the backdrop so the white folks can get some money. Guess where it's going to be? Guess where this is going to be? At Francis Slay's daddy's restaurant. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And Francis Slay too trifling. Because, you know, this is a political action for him. Ain't got nothing to do with Jack. He wants to misrepresent. He wants to hold the hand of Jim Slay. And sing, "We Shall Overcome," and then go back to his office and wash his hands of black folks. Francis Slay so trifling, he don't even want to. His daddy's restaurant is a block and a half from his office. He's so trifling, I ain't going to drive no place for no dang Rosa Parks. Let my daddy get a little bit of green up off of this. What, you couldn't find a black place? Oh, I get it. The celebration of diversity is black people walk in the dough, white people get the money. Huh, kind of sound like the racist bus system there. Up in Montgomery. Down it. Down it. I ain't done yet. You know what these sons of guns done? Invitation says the time for this is that it starts promptly at noon. Promptly. And you flip over the back of this, and you look at all the folks that are going to be speaking. Harold Crumpton. Sellout. Lewis McKinney. KMOX. Then we have the Reverend Sammy Jones, the Reverend I'll Do Anything for a Dime, Sammy Jones. Rabbi Susan Talvey. Reflections by attorney Frankie Freeman. Then we have Orrin Kimbrough. Martin Juan Raffan. What that got to do with Rosa Parks? Y'all feel this whole black thing going on up here? They whitewashing Rosa Parks. They whitewashing Rosa Parks celebration. Special readings and musical tributes. I bet there'll be some black folks up there singing. This is mostly a white event. Oh, and did I tell you Anheuser-Busch is sponsoring this? Did I tell you how much tolerance Francis Slay has for black folks? And how trifling and self-loathing the NAACP is. This is a one-hour tribute. All we got time for this black mess is 1 hour. Get there promptly because my daddy, you need to, black folks don't let the door hit you on the way out. 1 hour in the city of St. Louis for the mother of the civil rights movement. all Francis Slay and his daddy and the trifling NAACP and all the other white folks that are going to be up on the podium for a Rosa Parks tribute 1 hour. And then get the heck out of my restaurant. 1 hour. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? This 1 hour tribute is sponsored by the NAACP, the City of St. Louis, and Anheuser-Busch. Don't that just typify exactly what the City of St. Louis is about? 1 hour for Rosa Parks. If Rosa Parks, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in the City of St. Louis and all over the world that's listening to us, if Rosa Parks, after doing everything that she did, after suffering all the stuff that she did, after being who she is, standing up to the face of racism, if Rosa Parks gets 1 hour, only 1 hour in the City of St. Louis, what the hell you think you got coming? What you think you got coming? And just like Jim Slay is carrying the water for racism and racists and racist apologists in the City of St. Louis, so too does the NAACP. Shame on all of you. Shame on all of you. I gotta go. I gotta go cuss. We gotta take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I ain't done here. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me.
Morning, St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by American Express. Southbound 55 is closed at milepost 55 near Litchfield, Illinois, due to an accident involving a tractor trailer. Traffic is being diverted onto the frontage road at milepost 60. Westbound 40, just west of the new stadium, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked, and traffic is backed up into Illinois this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Poplar Street exit, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked as well. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, there's road construction at the ramp to Broadway, so you can use 11th Street to get around. Northbound 55 between Imperial Main and Lindbergh, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270 looks good. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Spady, look for traffic to be rolling freely. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant. Look for everything to be on move. Westbound 5570 split from Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Look for traffic to be flowing along slowly. Westbound Bridge at King Bridge. I'm sorry, at Laclede's Landing, everything looks good. Northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge. Nothing to report there. And there's a couple of accidents. Westbound 15 at 13, they're reported in the right lane that's over on the east side, as well as Illinois 177 between Muscoota and Belleville. There's a report of an injury accident. Clarkson and Chesterfield, there are icy, Chesterfield Parkway, there are icy patches. In fact, there are icy patches throughout the city, so use caution as you roll up to those areas. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by American Express. Wish you could get that new Vespa scooter for only $900? American Express card members can today only at my MyLifeMyCard.com. That's MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions apply. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy in the morning and afternoon. Then becoming partly cloudy. Occasional flurries this morning with a high in the mid-30s. This evening, colder, partly cloudy with a low around 15. Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of snow early in the morning and a chance of snow or rain late in the afternoon, with a high only in the upper 30s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 33, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Listen to Debbie Donzie at WGNU.net for Women Empowering Women, or Wild Energetic Women, or Wild Wacky Women.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, our special guest is Nell Bernstein, author of All Alone in the World. This book tells the story of an 11-year-old child trying to reconnect with her mother who has just gotten out of prison. But it also tells the story of how mandatory drug sentences are tearing apart children, lives, and the fabric of society. The incarceration of nonviolent first-time offenders has pushed prisons past capacity. Last year, drug violations accounted for more arrests than any other offense, mainly because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. What happens to the children in this cycle? Join Nell Bernstein for a heartfelt perspective on this divisive subject Thursday morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Congratulations to Joe Garcia, producer of the Global News Update, a feature of the Morning Wake Up Call. Joe, along with Liz Brown, are the 2005 winners of the Best Spot News Award from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. We always knew Joe was a winner, and now you know, too. Again, congratulations to Joe Garcia. Another reason to listen to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. When you discover something of true value, that pearl of great price, you take special care of it. The 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party celebrates its pearl anniversary this year by honoring those who help others throughout Metro St. Louis. This year's party is from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road. The parking is free. The ticket price of $10 per person includes a family-style buffet, a DJ from Complete Music Company, the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers, and the Sweet and Sassy Dancers continue the tradition of great entertainment. There are also drawings for door prizes, including, what else, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are also available at $5 each. Seating is limited to 500 persons, so get your tickets now and don't be disappointed. They're available from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves.
A couple of weeks ago, oil industry executives testified before Congress that most of their companies had nothing to do with a 2001 task force set up by Vice President Dick Cheney to set energy policy. But they lied to Congress because White House documents name them as being there. The policy set forth by that task force set the stage for the high gas prices we have now, and even gave $6 billion in subsidies to these gluttonous monsters. Thursday morning at 7, Tyson Slocum of the Critical Mass Program of Public Citizen joins us to talk about the arrogance of the oil industry. Are they so big that now they can tell Congress to go to... Be here Thursday morning at 7 and find out. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Just hear those slaves.
it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy-yap, 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 let's go. Let's look at the show.
Giddy-yap, let's go. Let's go. This is Liz Brown. Holiday season is upon us. Ah, I ain't done, folks. I'm sorry. I'm not done. I just need to be honest and upfront with you. This is my cussing and fussing hour. I can't help it. I can't help it. We have a 1 hour, a lousy 1 hour tribute that the NAACP and Francis Slay give to Rosa Parks. A 1 hour tribute on a cheap piece of white cardboard. The invitation's on a cheap piece of white cardboard. A 1 hour, and they call it a celebrate the memory and achievements of Rosa Parks. This woman was 80-something years old when she died. No, 90 years old when she died? And you're going to celebrate her achievements in one damn hour? How you going to do that? Oh, this is St. Louis. That's how we roll. One lousy hour. And I just want you to understand why there's only 1 hour involved in this. Because the city is governed by a racist white man. How do we know that? And I just want, I don't take that word racist lightly. It's not a word to be hurled at any opportunity. I mean, I've had people call me on the air and say, so-and-so's racist. Well, I don't know if that's exactly how we can describe this. You can describe people's racism, or you can assess people's racism by the things they do, the things they say, and the things that they tolerate. Example, and this is so fitting. Frances Slay appointed as an administrative judge a woman by the name of Margaret Walsh. She's an administrative judge. A few weeks back, Margaret Walsh was angry at a African woman that came into the courtroom. The African woman called some folks out their names. She called them ghetto bees. Okay? Called some workers, some clerks. Didn't call the judge that. Called some clerks that. African woman had her little tantrum. She went and was talking with, she then went and began talking to a guard. It was a civil conversation. The African woman's having a conversation with the guard. Margaret Walsh, the appointee of Francis Slay, sees this African woman. She says to this African woman, "Are you the woman that called some clerks ghetto bees? You need to," and she's in her courtroom, right? The judge, the administrative judge, Margaret Walsh, appointed by Francis Slay, is in her courtroom. And she says, "You need to go sit at the back of the courtroom because that's where ghetto bees sit." And she didn't say bee. She said the word. Has she lost her job? Or has she been promoted? Or has she been embraced by Francis Slay? A white woman appointed by Francis Slay calls an African woman a bee, a ghetto bee, and tells her to sit at the back of the courtroom. So I asked you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, ladies and gentlemen listening to the sound of my voice, this lousy, trifling bull, 1 hour celebration of the life of Rosa Parks by Francis Slay at Francis Slay's daddy's restaurant. Well, his daddy gonna get the money for it. What you think it means? It don't mean crap. It don't mean crap. Francis Slay is spitting on you.
spitting on black people and has turned this, has whitewashed the memory, the achievements of Rosa Parks into a lousy political stunt for the Slay administration. You want to hear how much of a stunt this is? Ecumenical blessings from Susan Talvey. Put her name first. Reverend, the most reverend, if I see it, I'm going to sell it or I'm going to sell out for it, Sammy Jones. Reflections by Frankie Freeman. And here's the tip. Here's a tip off. Here's the evidence of that you ain't got crap coming. Under the segment called Future Hopes and Aspirations, the only thing that we have are white people speaking. So what's your future in that, ladies and gentlemen of the African jury? 1 hour tribute to Rosa Parks in the city of St. Louis by the as my mama would have said, my mama called, it didn't, my mama was intolerant of us running after anybody that didn't want you. Yeah, she called it Licky. Don't be Licky. We have an NAACP that ain't nothing but Licky. Licky, Licky, Licky. The Licky NAACP and Harold Crumpton. And we have Francis Slay that embraces an administrative judge, Mark, who's appointed an administrative judge, who embraces an administrative judge, who says right on to the administrative judge, Margaret Walsh, that called a black woman a ghetto B.I., you know the rest of the letters, and told this black woman to sit at the back of the courtroom in front of God and everybody in her courtroom, and she still has her job. What you think you got coming? What you think you got coming? Oh, and Jim Slay, who's holding his hand and giving him big fat wet kisses and saying, I'm down with you, Republican. Jim Slay. He's on the school board. That's who Francis Slay appointed to the school board. What you think you got coming? My name is Liz Brown. I ain't done, but I'm taking a break. Stay with me.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought along some corn for popping. The lights will turn way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally...
Young Rembrandt will teach students fun cartoon techniques at the Greensfelder Recreation Complex in Queenie Park at 550 Wideman Road in Baldwin. Children will learn about facial expressions, sounds, and motion with original cartoon characters and more. The class meets December 3rd through 17th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Cost is $30 with all supplies furnished. To find out more, call Tanya at 636-391-0922. Cartoon news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The plan by the Bush administration to cut Medicare payments to doctors by over 4% next year could cause a number of physicians to not accept Medicare patients. On Monday, a new rule is to be published that will be the new standard of payment to doctors for the 2006 calendar year. The cut is required by a Medicare formula. but the president has not put forth any legislation that will stop it from taking effect. Doctors' payments will go down about 25% over the next 5 years, while their fees are projected to rise by at least 15%. The government says doctors will likely perform more services under Medicare to make up for the decrease in payments. And a Medicare administrator says that doctors should not get any more money unless they work with the government to measure the quality of care they're doling out. But a doctors group says private insurers and some state Medicaid programs tie their payment of fees to the Medicare fee schedule, so they're going to take a hit across the board. The chairman of the American Medical Association, Dr. Duane Cady, says physicians cannot afford such drastic cutbacks and continue to provide services to recipients, and that a recent survey by his group indicates that if the cuts do start at the first of the year, at least one-third of the doctors will cut back on the number of Medicare patients they're willing to see. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
A couple of weeks ago, oil industry executives testified before Congress that most of their companies had nothing to do with a 2001 task force set up by Vice President Dick Cheney to set energy policy. But they lied to Congress because White House documents name them as being there. The policy set forth by that task force set the stage for the high gas prices we have now and even gave $6 billion in subsidies to these gluttonous monsters. Thursday morning at 7, Tyson Slocum of the Critical Mass Program of Public Citizen joins us to talk about the arrogance of the oil industry. Are they so big that now they can tell Congress to go to... Be here Thursday morning at 7 and find out. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Attorney Liz Brown. This is Brother Bob. How are you this morning?
Brother Bob, good morning.
Oh, yes. I got to try to keep my spirits up because being involved in this civil rights and human rights movement like since 1968, This is sort of slapping my face personally for to see this kind of thing about the city of St. Louis. And I'm just trying to evaluate some things around this, what you said. You hit everything on the head. But for the people of color that sign up, I don't want to use that other word, this is to just the white folk continue to do this. And we don't have any repercussion. We talk about it. Something do need to be done, but these kind of people, I know you're exposing them with the truth, and they need to be exposed. Then we see with the police department, there are no blacks in the cadet class. And I know that we as blacks got to get ahead of the game because politically we can control this city of St. Louis, but we got a little ways to go before we get there based upon the political education that is so vitally needed. Indeed, look like the whites are putting things in position, the white police chief and the white people, they are getting there.
Here's the thing. Jim Slay had a moral responsibility, had a responsibility as an African man, that he should have said to Francis Slay, I'm not going to be in any school board until that all-white class of the police board is changed. I'm not going to do any of this stuff until some of the racist things that are going on under your watch, under your tenure, are changed. He didn't do that. He's the president of the Urban League, and he is a sellout to the issues of African people, a black Republican. He likes George W. Bush. He supports George W. Bush. He supports the Republicans in office right now. What do you think black people have coming for? And I got a roll, Brother Bob.
Because what are they scared of, though?
Oh, they're scared.
They get their money based on white people. And I'm just saying that.
I can't answer that question.
Black community, then they're going to continue to do it.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I think he like castigating public figures for rating purposes, but.
Wait a minute. Your first thing you're going to try to get off a shot. You're not displeased with only 1 hour of a tribute to the mother of civil rights, or are you a water carrier for those folks? Is it a free meal for? Is it a free meal for you? Is it a free meal for you to go down there? Is there also so then black people should say, well, we got Martin Luther King's march, so we need to hush up about anything else that they do with black people. Is that how you live your life?
No, and I have utmost respect for Jim Buford.
I bet you do. Ain't nobody surprised to hear you say that, because you're up here defending the act that a black woman who gave so much and did so much only gets a lousy hour, a prompt hour, at a white man's establishment on the anniversary of her courageous act. You know what? You'd still be sitting on the bus because you'd be too scared to say anything to anybody, and you would be criticizing the black folk. You would be the person that would be criticizing a Rosa Parks. You would be saying, like you said to me, I like to criticize public figures. The fact of the matter is, I am speaking power, truth to power, and you would still be sitting on the back of the bus. You would have said to Rosa Parks, oh, you better shut up and sit down because we can't do anything. Don't make them mad. Get off my phone. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you.
I'm a little disappointed in you this year. The Christmas season, you cost me about $12. And I'll tell you why. My son, when he was born, we would listen to your show every morning. We still do. And he came to like the song Santa Baby. Can you haven't played it this year?
I just did. I played it this morning.
Well, I had to go out and buy that CD the other day.
I'm playing it from now until Christmas. Don't you be mad at me because your son has great musical taste.
He loves that song. Trips people out because they go, well, how would he know that song? we listen to Liz every morning. She plays it. You know, she used to play it every during the Christmas season, but we hadn't heard it this
okay,
year.
Okay, no, I played it. In fact, you're going to hear it in 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, have a good day.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Clark, good morning.
Yes, Liz. This 1 hour is a political icing on the cake. Cannot justify racism eating at Slay's father's restaurant in his dishonor of Rosa Parks for political gain, using the NAACP like pigs eating in the mud. Mm. Hold my hand, Liz. One day,
all right now, Clark.
Liz.
Yes, sir.
Liz, you think that you are angry. I'm angry, too.
Should be. Should be angry. Clark, I got to go.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I'll be back. You need to stay with me. I ain't done here.
Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Millions have died and millions live with AIDS. World AIDS Day is being marked around the world in part to end complacency and raise awareness.
They're walking for life in India, an affirmation of life despite the fact that the number of people living with HIV/AIDS worldwide is at its highest yet. Kids are at the center of the AIDS epidemic. 6,000 are infected every single day, but only a tiny proportion of funding goes towards specialist treatment for children. But Whoopi Goldberg, UNICEF's special representative, says you can't give up.
If you're not going to save the children, then we might as well just pack it in.
The UN says HIV/AIDS poses an exceptional global threat which can only be met by an equally exceptional response. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Conflicting reports out of Ramadi in western Iraq. Witnesses say insurgents attacked several U.S. bases and government offices. There was talk of masked gunmen roaming the streets, but the U.S. military says there's no significant insurgent activity, and there are no reports of casualties. ABC's Miguel Marquez has more from Baghdad.
Ramadi is a place where the insurgency is known to be in very big numbers. The U.S. has been carrying out many operations there. And talking to General Casey yesterday, he said that Ramadi, he believes, the insurgents are trying to set up sort of a capital of the insurgency in that town.
Three U.S. troops have died in Iraq since yesterday, two in combat, one in an accident. President Bush said in a speech yesterday it will take time and patience to train Iraqis to secure their country. That's amid some growing calls for a clear exit strategy.
I cannot give you a timeline, and I would not use the word withdraw either. I would say that the troops will come home when the job is done.
Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace on ABC's Nightline. Some Sunni leaders are calling for the release of four Western aid workers kidnapped in Baghdad Saturday, including an American. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Enrollment is available now through May 15, 2006. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Medicare-approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Copayment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
A milestone for a well-known actor-director. ABC's Bill Deal has the story.
70 may be a milestone, but I'll bet Woody Allen would much rather be playing in his jazz band than celebrating his birthday. I asked him if it feels a bit scary.
So-called milestone birthdays, you know, have a drama to them. So, yeah, it does. Sure, I hate the thought of getting older.
If Woody's wife, Soon Yi, 35 years as junior, is planning a celebration, Woody, I suspect, would prefer she didn't.
I don't really like celebrations. I always find them depressing. You know, it's like people are trying to symbolize something or ritualize something. And in the end, you know, it's gone with the wind.
Woody Allen's new movie, Match Point, opens at the end of the month. Bill Deal, ABC News, New York.
And it's music to the ears of Grateful Dead fans. They can now download the band's live concert recordings again. Last week, the Dead asked a nonprofit website to stop making the recordings available for download. Now the band's allowing those shows to be reposted online. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, there is no word on a court date in former Blues hockey player Mike Danton's lawsuit seeking a new sentence. Danton pleaded guilty last year to trying to arrange the murder of his agent David Frost and was sentenced to 7.5 years. His suit alleges an unfair delay in transferring him to a prison in his native Canada. In the suit, Danton acknowledges for the first time in official court documents that Frost was the intended victim. The lawsuit claims that Danton's guilty plea was based in part on his desire to get help for grave mental disorders and that the most effective treatment for him is in Canada. University of Missouri officials are looking at new ways to control rising tuition costs. Jill Moore, a spokesperson for the four-campus system, says they are trying to rein in the high tuition increases brought about by cuts in state funding. He says university system president Elson Floyd this week ruled out a plan that would have guaranteed incoming freshmen the same tuition during their entire college career. Floyd is now looking at a plan that would only raise tuition rates at the rate of inflation. More needs to be done to help the homeless. That's according to the Legal Counsel for Legal Services for Eastern Missouri. Dan Glazier says a lot has been done by the city of St. Louis since a 1985 lawsuit.
The city has set up a network of services on behalf of the homeless, shelter, life skills, child care, that have made some impact on helping to break the cycle of homelessness.
Glazier was among the featured speakers at yesterday's Justice for All Symposium, which was held in an effort to share with people the legal steps that have been taken to help the homeless in St. Louis. The symposium was part of National Homeless Awareness Month. Finally this hour, Rams rookie quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, but he is still not sure if he will be under center for Sunday's game against Washington. Jamie Martin is still experiencing blurred vision after taking a blow to the head last week, but interim head coach Joe Vitt has yet to make an announcement on his starting quarterback for Sunday. Fitzpatrick threw for 310 yards and 3 touchdowns in relief of Martin last week as the Rams rallied from 21 points down to beat the Texans. Kickoff between the Rams and Redskins is 3:05 on Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by American Express. Wish you could get a new Vespa scooter for only $900? American Express card members can, today only at MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions apply. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears. Southbound 55 is closed at mile marker 55 near Litchfield, Illinois. That's over on the east side due to an accident involving a tractor trailer. Traffic's being rerouted on the frontage road at milepost 60. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway, that is closed. Poplar Street Bridge, there's an accident near in both lanes. Those have been cleared in both lanes, are now open, but traffic is still backed up as you approach the downtown area. On westbound 64, Illinois police are working with accidents at the 21-mile marker near 161 and Route 4. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and Germania, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 is slow in pockets from Ballast to Hanley. Eastbound 70 is slow from Zumbel all the way into 270. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, you got slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there. And eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume. Westbound 5570 at the Exchange and the Poplar Street Bridge, it is bumper to bumper there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow. And westbound 64 at 25th all the way into 5570, look for slow traffic there. Illinois 161 at Silver Lake, there's a jackknife pickup truck and trailer. Expect some lane restrictions. And westbound 15 at 159, look for an accident. The left lane is closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears. Get ready for the big holiday. Come in early this Saturday and save big. Find the biggest gifts in tools, home appliances, home fashions, and more. Wish big at Sears. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy in the morning today and early afternoon, becoming partly cloudy. Occasional flurries this morning, high in the mid-30s this evening. Partly cloudy, colder with a low around 15 for Friday. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. Friday evening, not quite as cold. Partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow or rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 33 under cloudy skies with wind chill making it feel like it's 27 degrees outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, our special guest is Nell Bernstein, author of All Alone in the World. This book tells the story of an 11-year-old child trying to reconnect with her mother who has just gotten out of prison. But it also tells the story of how mandatory drug sentences are tearing apart children, lives, and the fabric of society. The incarceration of nonviolent first-time offenders has pushed prisons past capacity. Last year, drug violations accounted for more arrests than any other offense, mainly because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. What happens to the children in this cycle? Join Nell Bernstein for a heartfelt perspective on this divisive subject Thursday morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. My toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Just did that. And the website is LizBrown.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on the web at www.wgnu.net. And if you missed an hour of my show, well, shame on you. Well, that's all right. You can go get that hour. Go right to whiterosesociety.org and pick up the show, folks. It's archived daily. The wake-up call is archived daily there. And you can also iPod the show as well. So, driving into work today, driving into the station at a rather rapid speed, I might say. And as I blew past the various gas stations along the way, I noticed that gas prices is what we have had an 11 cents increase. Is that right? I've been trying to understand this. I've been trying to wrap my mind around the concept of this. I don't know. Maybe I would be in a different place if I really had a limitless capacity for greed. Because I just don't get there are people that out there that say that one reason that some people are overweight is because they've somehow the indicators in their bodies that says I'm full are messed up. They don't have an I'm full indicator, so they continue to eat and gorge and eat and eat. The switch that says enough is not working. And maybe that's the answer to these oil people. The switch that says enough, I have enough, I'm full, is not working. In fact, maybe it was never there. Maybe they are biologically designed that they've never had an enough switch in them. Genetically, they're born that way without an enough switch. As I showed, I mean, there has to be some kind of genetic explanation for this, because these folks are still gouging us. They gouge us in the face of Katrina. They gouge us in the face of the United States Congress. They gouge us in the face of secret meetings and setting up energy policies with Dick Cheney. They gouged us. And there's no shame in their game. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Tyson Slocum, Director of Public Citizen. Tyson, good morning.
Liz, how are you?
I'm outstanding. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
Is it genetic? Is it that they don't have that switch that says enough?
I think it's once you become the CEO of a global, powerful corporation, I think that's what triggers the greed switch. When you realize that senators are under your control, even the president takes your advice willingly,
I
think that's what does it.
The president's your road dog.
That's right.
You know, the vice president, you hang out and have secret meetings at his office and no repercussions.
And in fact, then you lie about it. But of course, they didn't lie about it under oath, because the senators that were controlling that hearing on November 9th, when all five major oil company CEOs came to testify, the Republican chairman of the Senate committee, Ted Stevens from Alaska, made sure that none of the executives had to testify under oath.
And he was rather testy about it, wasn't he?
He was very testy about it.
He had an attitude about it.
And let me tell you something. I have testified before Congress many times. I always testify under oath. I'm proud to say that the words I'm speaking are backed up with an oath of truth. Apparently, the oil companies aren't willing to do that.
But here's the thing, Tyson. Do you think that it was a setup? I mean, do you think that they knew going in that they weren't going to have to testify under oath because the oil executives did not ask not to be put under oath?
Oh, I think they knew. That was kind of the bargain they had was, I mean, they know that every time they have to go before Congress, they're either going to get a tax break or some sort of special treatment.
Mm.
And they knew that when they were going to be called in to testify, that they weren't going to be treated like regular people.
And let's back up a little bit. Why is it that five of them,
mm-hmm.
were brought to chat up Congress?
Well, because members of the Senate were hearing so much outrage from their constituents, from folks that are paying record high prices, from folks that are worried about what their home heating bills are going to be this winter, that Congress had to do something. And so what the majority in the Senate decided to do was to do some window dressing, to bring in CEOs from the major oil companies, not force them to testify under oath. And for the most part, the Republicans asked them very soft questions. But there was one question by a Democratic senator from New Jersey, Frank Lautenberg, that kind of has set off a firestorm. And that was Senator Lautenberg asked each of the oil executives, did you or anyone from your company meet privately with Cheney's Energy Task Force? That was, of course, the task force that met, we all know, with energy companies, including Ken Lay from disgraced Enron, back in 2001, that developed an energy policy that provided the foundation of the corporation energy bill that President signed into law in August. Each of these oil executives all said, no, we did not meet with them. One of them, BP, said, I have no idea if we met with them or not. Well, we have now learned that four of the companies did indeed have representatives that met privately with Dick Cheney and his staff.
And how do we know that?
We know that because the Washington Post got its hands on a document, a White House document, no less, that says so-and-so from ExxonMobil and so-and-so from Conoco and so-and-so from Shell have all sat down and met with us on this day to talk about oil energy policy.
Now, you said a few minutes ago, Tyson, that the Republicans control this committee, this hearing. How is that? What's the mechanism that allows them to control this? Were there Democrats there that got to, I mean, were there, other than the one that asked the key question, what questions were Democrats allowed to ask?
Well, the Democrats were allowed to ask certain questions, but they were not allowed to bring in any charts or graphs to illustrate their points.
Why not? Why not?
Because Senator Ted Stevens did not want this to...
But wait a minute.
He didn't want embarrassing charts to be shown on television.
I get that. I understand why he wouldn't want it, but what in the rules would allow him to prevent them from bringing in a doggone chart?
Because he's the chairman of the committee. He was presiding over the committee, and he was setting down the rules of the road.
So there's he said no charts, no graphs?
That's right. He, in fact, yelled at Senator Barbara Boxer, a Democrat from California, when she started setting up a little tripod to put up a big chart showing the oil company profits. Senator Ted Stevens ruled that out of order and ordered it taken away. That's democracy for you, Ted Stevens style.
And if I correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Alaska that had this several tens of millions of dollars bridge to nowhere, buried in energy bill?
That's right. Well, it was buried in the
transportation bill.
And yes, Senator Ted Stevens played a very big role in getting that pork into that bill.
And that was a bridge to link 500 people on one side and 15 people on another side of an island.
That's right. And there are actually efforts in the Senate to try to remove that and other wasteful provisions as part of a deficit reduction bill.
So I'm just trying to download all of this, Tyson. The man that put a tens of millions of dollars of a bridge to nowhere in the transportation bill is in charge of trying to find out, or is head of the investigation into why the energy companies and why the CEOs from these companies are gouging us?
That's right.
So they came before Congress, these five men, and lied. Is there anything that can be done because they want what they weren't under oath?
Well, actually, yes. While they cannot be charged for perjury, because perjury applies when you make an oath and then you lie under oath. But, however, there is another separate federal law that makes it a crime if you provide misleading information to a federal government official. So they still could be prosecuted.
Who
and, in fact, Senate Democrats have written a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal investigation.
So the Department of Justice has to bring those charges?
That's right.
Who would be the witness to that, a Democrat at the hearing, or would it have to be the chairman of the committee?
Actually, I think it can be everybody who watched those hearings. They were broadcast on the Internet, and they were broadcast on C-SPAN. I think that they will, so we've got a video recording of it. It's indisputable what the oil company executive said. We've got it on camera.
We have a smoking gun.
That's right.
Okay. We have a videotape of the gun being fired.
Mm-hmm.
So when the oil execs came to sit down and talk before the United States Senate, and the questions were asked about this incredible largest quarter profit in the history of corporations in the world, what was their defense?
Their defense was supply, demand, and free markets. They said that it is their right to earn that kind of money because they're working very hard to produce a product.
Huh?
What they didn't mention was the fact that they're making, it costs ExxonMobil about $10 to extract a barrel of oil in Alaska or anywhere else around the world. They're selling it back to the American people for almost $60 a barrel. Some of that oil that ExxonMobil is extracting is coming from federal land in the Gulf of Mexico or in Alaska or in California. So you've got a situation where they're making almost $50 in profit on every barrel of oil they're producing in the United States.
What's the significance of it coming off of federal land?
Because it's land owned by the people of the United States, not by ExxonMobil.
Mm.
So I think that any oil extracted off of federal land should be sold to the American public at cost. That will definitely help in protecting consumers from high prices this winter. That's also why Public Citizen supports a windfall profits tax, where these excess profits by oil companies would be returned back to the American public, and not only in the form of rebates to help folks cope with high home heating bills this winter, but also to make necessary investments, to give to tax the oil companies and give the proceeds to state and local mass transit systems, to give bigger rebates to people to encourage them to upgrade the insulation and windows in their homes so our homes are more energy efficient, to give bigger rebates to encourage folks to buy hybrid cars and other fuel efficient automobiles, things like that that will actually help consumers instead of the current policy which President Bush, recently signed into law, $6 billion in new subsidies to these same profitable oil companies.
Now, how does this windfall profit assessment occur? Do we have situations in the United States where windfall profits are used? I mean, how do you define windfall profits?
There's a couple of different proposals by various senators. One would tax so ExxonMobil is a monopoly. It produces crude oil and sells crude oil, and it also turns crude oil into gasoline and sells gasoline. The one proposal would tax any amount over $40 a barrel that an oil company is selling crude oil. Tax it at a rate of 50%. So that would still give a profit margin $30 a barrel.
Wow.
For U.S. oil companies. And it would, tax 50% of the amount over 40. So at that point, it would be, the government would be collecting about $10 on every barrel of oil that ExxonMobil and other companies were selling.
So it is a mischaracterization to argue that windfall profit, any kind of windfall profit law legislation, means that these poor businesses aren't going to be able to make profit.
Oh, no. This is not about – it would be wrong to deny the opportunity for a company to make a profit. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about windfall profits. We're talking about profit margins that are the highest in the history of global capitalism. We're talking about profits that are so big that ExxonMobil can't even figure out how to spend all the money that it's making. Literally, they've got more than $30 billion in cash that they don't even know how to spend. It's just sitting there. So this is about, and those profits are coming at the expense of the American economy. They're coming at the expense of the American consumer.
And also, to underscore what I think is an important point, they're coming from a monopoly. We're not talking about a company out here that has all kinds of competitors and is making this kind of money. They're making it because they're a monopoly.
Exactly, Liz. We've allowed all these recent mergers, and that's really harmed competition because now we've got just a couple of big corporate giants that are not only huge players in the United States, but around the world as well.
And so this isn't capitalism at all with regard to these oil execs. This is a monopoly, that flies in the face of capitalism.
Absolutely. We've returned to the days of Rockefeller and Standard Oil, where, we already went through this 100 years ago when a couple of big oil companies dominated the U.S. market, and it took a Republican president, Teddy Roosevelt, to understand that, that does not help the American economy or competition or free trade or anything. And so they broke it up. And I think that we need to reevaluate some of these mergers because clearly the profits that ExxonMobil is enjoying is coming at the expense of the American economy.
And where are we in terms of the investigation, and what should people be doing at this point in time?
Well, people should be calling their members of Congress. I mean, we've got to keep putting pressure on these guys. The oil industry thinks that Congress is in their back pocket, and so far they're right. And that's because the American people have not put enough pressure. So all the listeners out there need to call your senators. You need to call your congresspeople. You need to demand that we enact a windfall profits tax. They need to demand that we have an immediate investigation into anti-competitive practices by the oil companies, and in an immediate criminal investigation into whether or not these oil companies lied when they testified November 9th before the United States Senate.
And where can people find out more information about this, Tyson?
Well, we're on the Internet at www.citizen.org. We've got a ton of information on the oil industry and what needs to be done to reform it.
And do you see anything happening with our Congress before Christmas or before the holidays or during this heating crisis that we're in right now, an oil crisis that we're in right now?
I don't really see anything happening before Christmas. I think that the test is going to be in January and February. If we have a tough winter in some parts of the country and if home heating costs really skyrocket, I think you are going to see a crisis where literally millions of Americans will not be able to afford to heat their homes.
Mm.
And I think if that occurs, you might see enough political pressure to clamp down on these oil companies.
And I'm sitting here in St. Louis, and on the first day of December, and all of a sudden the skies have just opened up and snow was pouring down, and we don't usually get it like that. Let me get to one quick caller here. Barbara, you have a question for our guest, Tyson Slocum.
Yes, I do. How are you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
I was wondering if your guest could tell me the support for the war and that we use a lot of oil products for the war, for the planes, for the ships and helicopters. Do you think the people that are invested in oil, like the brokers or the people that own the stocks, are pushing for the war just to keep the income coming in? I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. Thank you,
Barbara.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, the military definitely uses a lot of oil. I don't know that the oil used to power our military is really the driving force.
It's the SUVs that we have.
Or really whether it's trying to indirectly or directly control Iraq's oil reserves. Mm-hmm. And remember, Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world. I think no question that played a major role in the United States going to war in Iraq, because to folks in the Bush administration, that was a big part of their foreign policy push. And I do think that they assumed that the war was going to go so well and that the post-Saddam era was going to be so peaceful and so pro-American that Iraq would have been able to produce lots of oil. We would have had U.S. corporations in there making money off of it, and we would have been getting our hands on some of that cheap Iraq oil. But like every other prediction that the Bush administration made about Iraq, they were completely wrong. And so I think that that's really a forgotten point here, is that Dick Cheney said publicly numerous times, you know, because we will have a peaceful transition after Saddam falls, we will be able to have Iraq producing 4 million barrels of oil a day, and a lot of that is going to be going to the U.S. market. Cheney, as he was on so many other things about Iraq and other stuff, was completely wrong. And so I think that the problems in Iraq has definitely contributed to the problem.
Tyson Slocum, Director of Public Citizen, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 38 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by American Express. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, the Broadway exit is closed, as well as the ramp. You can use 11th Street to get around. Northbound 55 between 270 and Bates. Look for no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass to Merrimack River Bridge. You have heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way in. The Blanchett Bridge is flowing freely. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44. You've got slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. Expect slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203. Onto the PSB, it is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Heavy volume there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and 5570. Look for slow traffic there as well. Illinois 161 at Silver Lake. There's a jackknife pickup truck and trailer. Expect restrictions. Another accident reported on 161 near Old Lebanon Road. Eastbound 15 on the Illinois side at Our Lady of Snows. There's an accident. And Illinois 177 at 158. Look for an accident there as well. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by American Express. Wish you could get that new Vespa scooter for only $900. American Express card members can. Today only at MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions apply. Now taking a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy this morning and early afternoon, becoming partly cloudy with occasional flurries throughout the morning. The high should be in the mid-30s. Moving on to this evening, tonight, partly cloudy, colder with a low around 15. Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for snow early in the morning and a chance for snow and rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have flurries and 30 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting flurries and 32. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 26. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Dark, online at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life
or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Everyone at WGNU extends congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communication Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake-Up Call, and with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update. Congratulations, Liz, from your friends and colleagues at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I really can't
say. My baby is cold outside.
I've got to go away.
My baby is cold outside.
This evening has been
so drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might say,
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
tray?
No cash to be had out there.
I wish
his
I
baby is cold out there. I love that song. Love that song. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. This is a wake-up call, WGNU Radio 920 on your AM dial, www.wgnu.net, on the World Wide Web, whiterosesociety.org, archived every day. Get up, get up, get to me. Earl, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I just want to call and say I want to give you kudos, and I appreciate the way you handled that call earlier, the analogy you gave that caller about he'd have been saying, no, you shouldn't be saying it before you... for the guy to get up and give a seat. That was excellent. I mean, I was there with my son. I was beating my still. He's like, calm down, Dan, calm down, calm down. I mean, that was great. That's the problem. We have people like that in the city. Don't stand up for nothing, you know. They look out for themselves.
And Earl, if you don't mind, because there are some people that may have just joined us and may not know what we're referring to, if I take a moment to bring people up to speed. I was cussing and fussing this morning in the first hour about this outrageous thing that is happening today. And I think that everybody should go just to see this. Today at the Cedars Restaurant, a Cedars Restaurant is owned by Francis Slay's dad. There is a Rosa Parks, the mother of the modern-day civil rights movement, event. Now, the invitation was printed on cheap paper, cardboard paper, black and white, not even raised. It's awful. It's like something that people that don't have any money would do. And this is supposed to be celebrating Rosa Parks. And this is Francis Slay and the NAACP. And it's a cordial invitation, you and a guest, to celebrate the memory and achievements of Rosa Parks, the mother of the modern-day civil rights movement. And it's a one-hour-long event.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
that's a slap in the face. That's a spit in the face. That's a get-to-the-back-of-the-bus movement by Francis Slay and Harold Crumpton and the NAACP.
But check it out, it's just look at the people that's going to be there. You can name
right.
Earl Stubbs, Donald Stubbs, Little Earl, Sammy Jones, Jim Buford. I mean, you can name the ones that will be sitting right up in there smiling.
That's right.
You know.
Skinning and grinning.
You know, and they do nothing for the city, but they're so-called social elite of this city and do nothing for us.
And
Jim Buford, head of Urban League, and he can't speak out on the issues. He's supposed to be the one speaking out.
That's fact.
But you know what I mean? He does nothing.
All right, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. And I just want to remind you, you know what, stay with me, because I'm going to tell you about Margaret Walsh, an administrative judge that was appointed by, that works in the city, down in the city courts, appointed by Frances Slay, and how racist she is. And it's a fitting thing that I tell you about Margaret Walsh, administrative judge, on the Rosa Parks anniversary, because of what she said, what she does, and what Frances Slay encourages, embraces, and celebrates, what he really celebrates. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. An internal report has surfaced from the Department of Homeland Security that indicates the way FEMA was giving out contracts for work and procurement even before the hurricane disaster befell the Gulf Coast was problematic. The audit reveals that there was no accountability for the people who were responsible for buying millions of dollars worth of goods and services for the agency. No training, education, or experience criteria were established for putting people into those positions, and record keeping was also horrible. In 2001, FEMA failed to meet its quota of giving out work to small businesses, but then it never filed a required written explanation or corrective action plan with Small Business Administration. It was only last week that a Mississippi representative introduced a bill that will require FEMA to set up a database of small businesses to call upon for work in the Katrina disaster area. FEMA keeps saying it can't locate small businesses and has none on file. And Dateline New York. A new health study indicates the number of people being poisoned from overuse of the pain reliever acetaminophen is on the rise. This popular drug is best known as Tylenol, but it's also used in a number of other pain relievers and cold remedies. 10 years' worth of research has shown that overusing it can ruin the liver. The recommended maximum daily dose of acetaminophen is 4 grams for adults. That's 4,000 milligrams. So, if a person takes a pain reliever plus a cold medication several times a day, the recommended dosage is exceeded. And if you take it for several days in a row, liver problems can develop quickly. Researchers say pain and cold relievers need to have better labeling so that people will know acetaminophen is contained in those products. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, our special guest is Nell Bernstein, author of All Alone in the World. This book tells the story of an 11-year-old child trying to reconnect with her mother who has just gotten out of prison. But it also tells the story of how mandatory drug sentences are tearing apart children, lives, and the fabric of society. The incarceration of nonviolent first-time offenders has pushed prisons past capacity. Last year, drug violations accounted for more arrests than any other offense, mainly because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. What happens to the children in this cycle? Join Nell Bernstein for a heartfelt perspective on this divisive subject Thursday morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Christmas time is really more than giving. It's spreading all the good things to love. Christmas time is all about receiving the gift that God has sent.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There is an event that is going on today, and it's just a trifling, profane thing. That's the best word that I can think of to describe what's happening in the city of St. Louis right now today. A profane thing. All across this nation, there are people that are genuinely celebrating, genuinely giving homage to, genuinely lifting up, genuinely telling the history of the single act of courage of a woman named Rosa Parks. In New York City, the front bus seats, nobody can ride in the front bus seats in the honor of Rosa Parks. There are history lessons that are being given out. People standing up and honoring a courageous woman. She was in her 40s when she did that. She was in her 40s when a lot of people in their 40s get too bogged down and too caught up and too scared of losing the little bit that they think that they have. The youth have always been fearless. She was in her 40s when she did this. She said, I am not going to adhere to racist policies any longer. I will not allow your racism to dictate to me how I view myself and how I act. No. H-E double toothpicks, no. I'm not going to the back of the bus. And in the city of St. Louis, the tribute to a fearless woman like that is one that is wrapped in racism,
Imagine that, wrapped in racism, wrapped in cynicism, wrapped in the use of gutless water carriers for this administration, and wrapped in a political act to say something about a white politician that is not true, that he gives a damn about black folks and black issues. I have in my hand something that has caused me to cuss and fuss all evening. A cheap piece of cardboard with a cheap out of your not even a laser printer, just out of your just a regular old inkjet printer. A lousy reproduction of Rosa Parks on white cardboard, something that you can get out of a box of candy. And on it says that the Honorable Francis G. Slay and the St. Louis branch of the NAACP invite you and a guest to celebrate the memory and achievements of Rosa Parks, the mother of modern civil rights movement. Sounds pretty good, right? Sounds like it could be something, right? If you don't know anything about St. Louis, sounds like it could be something pretty good. And then the next line is one that is mystifying. A celebration of diversity in her honor. There is nothing that Rosa Parks did that was diverse. She spoke to the face of white racists and a white racist policy and said, I'm not going to do it. What was diverse about that? What was diverse about the thousands of African people that walked to work every day after that for a year while white folks rode the bus? And what's even more galling and more racist and more revealing about the world that we live in is that the celebration takes place today. It's the anniversary of her act, December 1st, 1955. It starts at noon promptly, and guess how long they're going to be celebrating at Francis Slay's daddy's business? One lousy hour. That's a slap in the face. That's a spit in the face. That is a racist, singular racist act, and there's more. Francis Slay has appointed an administrative judge by the name of Margaret Walsh, who said to a black woman that went in and clowned and called clerks out their name, Margaret Walsh, a white administrative judge employed, appointed, and embraced by Francis Slay, called this black woman a ghetto B.I.T., you know the rest, and told her to sit in the back of the courtroom. Has she been punished by Francis Slay? No. Has she been given a raise by Francis Slay? I don't know. Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. And she continues to keep her job while this racist, self-serving person sitting in the mayor's office gives a lousy hour to Rosa Parks. I guess so. When you hire people that call black people racist names and tell them to sit in the back of the courtroom, and this is Margaret Walsh, is an administrative judge. She said that in an open courtroom. And on the day of the celebration of Rosa Parks, Margaret Walsh gets to keep her job thanks to Francis Slay and all the water carriers that stand with him, by him, and do his bidding. Jim Slay. I'm talking about the Little Earls out here. And he's so ashamed of Little Earl, he don't even put a Little Earl's name on the program anymore. He has Little Sammy Jones, to hustle up his water now. Happy anniversary, Rosa. Christine.
Yes. Your last guest you had, Tyson Slocum. Can you hear me? Because it sounds like I'm talking in a whale.
Keep talking.
He was talking about the oil barons and how they were cheating and pillaging and swindling the American public. And he was also talking about how they lied before Congress. And he was talking about using a federal stature or someone to use a federal stature to try to put some of these crooks in jail. And I want your listening audience to know that this is the same federal law that they used to railroad Martha Stewart. It's called the 18th U.S. Code, and it's federal law 1001, and it's been on the books for hundreds of years. So we'll see if they're going to use this law to put some real crooks in jail.
Thanks for your call, Christine.
Thank you.
I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have open lines in the next hour. I'll be sitting here to get your calls, to get your comments. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
If you check off my Christmas list, Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. The U.S. military is downplaying reports of insurgent attacks out of western Iraq. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details from Baghdad.
Reports have described what sounds like a siege in Ramadi, timed by insurgents loyal to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi to coincide with a political gathering between locals and the U.S. military. But the military has told us there is no significant insurgent activity in the city. There is some video that shows gunmen on the streets of Ramadi, but it doesn't really show them engaged in a big offensive. So at the moment, we just don't know.
On the heels of what the White House billed as a major speech, President Bush is set to say more about U.S. plans for Iraq.
A second big speech on Iraq is planned for next week to follow yesterday's plan for victory remarks, which praised the growing skill of Iraqi forces. Critics here are still demanding a better definition of how American forces will withdraw from Iraq. The Bush plan says U.S. troops there will take on more specialized searches, leaving routine patrols to the Iraqis. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Senator John Kerry says yesterday's speech ignored the role the U.S. presence plays in motivating violence. Dozens of women at an AIDS walk in India revealed they're HIV positive and said they should not be shunned. It's one of many rallies around the world. Today is World AIDS Day. The UN's calling for an exceptional response to a global crisis, with particular attention paid to some of the most vulnerable patients.
When we talk about children being the missing face of AIDS, we talk about them missing their parents, many of whom have died, missing their teachers, healthcare workers, missing the opportunities that they should have as children, indeed missing their childhood.
Ann Veneman with UNICEF. Cheap laptops helped lead the initial holiday shopping charge. Walmart reporting sales up 4.3% over last year. This is ABC News.
Jim, there's a big alarm clock on your lawn.
It's for the big Saturday sale at Sears. There's going to be hundreds of great deals throughout the store.
So what's with the clock?
Oh, well, Saturday morning between 7 and 10, Sears is giving $10 reward cards to the first 200 customers. Want to make sure I'm up on time. Stop! Sorry, just testing.
Looks like we'll all be up on time.
Come in early. It's going to be a big Saturday sale. Wish big. Sears. Must be 18 or older. Limit one per household. While quantities last. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/3/05.
With interest rates below 4%, refinancing still makes sense. Call Quicken Loans at 800-719-8422. Because now, for a limited time, Quicken Loans is offering mortgage rates starting below 4%. Call 800-719-8422 and see how low your house payment could be with a rate under 4%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. For mortgage rates lower than 4%, call 800-719-8422 now.
A surgical first. A team of French doctors performed the first partial face transplant in Paris on a woman who was disfigured after a dog bite.
The lead surgeon, Dr. Jean-Michel Dubernard, is famed for performing the first hand and first double forearm transplants. Dr. Nadi Hakim has collaborated with him.
If it does work, it will open a lot of avenues for many patients who have lost their face either due to burns or even cancer.
Doctors say their patient is in excellent condition, but there is still a danger that her body could reject the new tissue. Dan Harris, ABC News, New York.
Researchers in Rome have examined the science of love. They have identified a molecule known as nerve growth factor. Higher levels of NGF were found in the blood of study subjects who recently fell in love, and it petered out after a year with the same partner. Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, three suspects are charged in a recent string of vehicle burglaries in Alton. 48-year-old Albert Boyd of Alton is charged with one count of attempted burglary and is being held on $50,000 bond. 30-year-old Shane Clark of Wood River and 29-year-old Rico Madlock of St. Louis are still at large. Clark is charged with six counts of burglary, and Madlock faces one burglary charge. While police do not believe the three men worked together, they say the suspects may be responsible for more than 50 vehicle burglaries. Employees of the Missouri Children's Division are speaking out against policies that they say are leaving children behind. St. Louis Children's Division workers held a rally yesterday to protest delays in mileage reimbursement payments. The workers are also protesting high caseloads and a lack of pay raises. The group is considering filing a formal grievance. Academy Award-winning actress Olympia Dukakis is joining hundreds of researchers to raise awareness about cancer metastatic bone pain. Clinical trials are underway at cancer centers across the country, including Missouri. Dukakis says the death of her close friend prompted her to get involved.
I saw firsthand what that pain was like. I saw how disabling it was, dispiriting it was. See her, you know, disabled in that way, emotionally, physically, was really a very painful, sad time.
For more information on this study, call 877-860-BONE or go online to www.bonepain.com. Finally this hour, Rams offensive tackle Alex Barron will undergo surgery on his injured thumb today and miss Sunday's game against the Redskins, according to interim head coach Jill Vitt. However, the team does expect to have him back for next week's contest at Minnesota. The Rams should have their other starting offensive tackle, Orlando Pace, in the lineup on Sunday. He is probable with injuries to his hamstring and hip flexor. Among the Rams listed as questionable are safety Adam Archuleta, offensive lineman Blaine Saipaia, and cornerback Travis Fisher. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by American Express. Wish you could get a new Vespa scooter for only $900? American Express card members can. Today only at MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions apply. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Westbound 70 at Memorial Drive, there's an object on the roadway believed to be a refrigerator in the right lane. Use caution there. Northbound 55 between Weber and Arsenal, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler Plant all the way to Merrimack River Bridge, expect heavy volume, especially in the right lanes. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, it is stop and go. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, stop and go still this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, very heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79 look for heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume there as well. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approach of the Poplar Street Bridge. You have a slow go there. And westbound 64 at Ball Avenue at the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Over on the Illinois side, 161 at Silver Lake. Look for a jackknife pickup truck and trailer, as restrictions will apply there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Ashley Furniture Home Store is a place to go for unique and stylish accessories and no interest or payments till 2007. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood, South County, and O'Fallon, Missouri. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly cloudy. Occasional flurries this morning. As we've already seen, the high should be in the mid-30s. For this evening, partly cloudy, colder with a low around 15. Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. Friday evening, not quite as cold, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and or snow throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees under cloudy skies with some flurries. Lambert Field is reporting 32 and flurries as well. Wind gust makes it feel like it's about 26 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing, I really need the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920 is the other phone number. Revolution at Liz Brown is the email. www.wgnu.net. That is the World Wide Web address from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We got business to handle. Stuff to talk about, issues to address. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Lavinia, good morning. Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Yes.
I have a question. Did you look at President Bush's speech yesterday on the plan for victory. Did you see it?
I saw it, and it was, what's the word I'm looking for, pitiful?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. He had a little plaque in back of him, plan for victory, plan for victory.
Plan
and it's
victory.
A large size, trying to fool the public to make them think that he really had a plan for victory.
I think that we have to acknowledge that the Bush administration has been one that's high on visuals, high on imagery,
mm-hmm.
high on attempts to get people to see certain things. But as we know with the mission accomplished sign,
right,
they don't always work out so good for him.
I thought it was just... if it wasn't for the people dying over there, it would be comical.
Yeah.
The way he did that. Try to make people think that he really has a plan for victory.
How did the mission accomplished sign work out for him?
I know.
Not too good, did it?
Same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes,
and, you
ma'am.
Know, when you talk about victory in Iraq, he's supposed to be defeating terrorism. How do you know when you have defeated terrorism?
I mean, in other words, how do you know when you won?
Right.
How do you know that?
That's right. Because the terrorists are going to always be there, regardless of whether we... In fact, I think that they're there because we're in Iraq.
Well, let me ask you this question to get to your statement. Was it going on before we got there? Were this many Iraqi people dying before we got there?
No, they weren't.
Okay.
And more people have died than it was when Hussein was over there.
That is correct.
And
so,
listen, we are no better than they are. And in fact, one of the presidents, well, I don't know if he's president, but one of the administrators of Iraq said that was as bad as Hussein.
The fact of the matter is that we went over there saying that there were weapons of mass destruction,
right.
and saying because Saddam Hussein had used weapons of mass destruction on his own people, he had to be taken out, even though he hasn't done anything to the United States.
Right.
Turns
right.
out that we drop weapons of mass destruction on Fallujah.
Right.
Turns out that, and Saddam Hussein needed to be taken out because of how he tortured his own people. We tortured people at Abu Ghraib.
That's right.
So help me, okay? Okay, help me.
That's exactly the way I feel.
What is it that we're doing over there that brings freedom, that brings democracy,
right.
that brings something better to the people of Iraq than they had before we got there?
That's right. We're not doing it.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I know. I just have to say this. I can't help it. I can't help it. It's the anniversary of the Courageous Act, the Fearless Act. Of speaking truth to power, to standing up to white racism. You got to call it what it is. In the United States, codified, exercised, implemented, and embraced white racism in the United States. Laws on the books that said because of the color of someone's skin, they're not even a person. They're inferior, and they have to go to the back of the bus. When a white man gets on the bus, an pregnant African woman has to get up and give him her seat, because of the color of her skin. That's white racism. And today is the anniversary of a fearless act by an incredible African woman, Rosa Parks, 40-something years old. She stood up and spoke truth to power and looked in the face of wrong at an age where most people hush up, take it. Like we've had callers calling up, hush up and take it, because they have so much to lose. I mean, it's not surprising that an 18-year-old does something fearless, because that's when you are fearless, when you're 18-year-old. You don't have a mortgage. You don't have those things that you think that you need to protect to keep you from doing what is right. Rosa Parks did that.
And how does the city of St. Louis repay Rosa Parks? The weak NAACP. I think that we have the weakest, most pitiful NAACP in the history of the NAACP right here in the city of St. Louis. And Francis Slade put out a cheap white cardboard, inkjet printed, pitiful little invitation that affords Francis Slade's daddy to make money off of the memory of Rosa Parks. Today at noon, promptly, 1 hour to celebrate the memory and achievements of Rosa Parks. 1 hour. 1 hour. That includes eating time. 1 hour. If that's not spitting in the face of Rosa Parks, if that's not telling you the contempt that this city has for people of African descent, one lousy hour. Why they have it tonight? Why didn't they hold it at Harris Stowe? Why didn't they really do something? All you got to say can be fit into an hour for Rosa Parks? And they have more people of non-people of color than people of color on the agenda. And Francis Slade's daddy gets to make money off of this. Ain't that some stuff? And doesn't that say everything about the city of St. Louis? A 1 hour brought to you by the NAACP. That's all that they could think of. NAACP. Francis Slade putting together a 1 hour tribute to Rosa Parks in the city of St. Louis. Pitiful. 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 Lorraine, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Can I change the subject, please?
Sure.
I heard that Medicare is planning on not paying the doctors for their services.
That is correct.
Well, what's going to happen when you can't afford to pay that?
What's going to happen is that people are going to end up in emergency rooms and the states are going to have to pay for it anyway.
Because I think some of these doctors really overcharge.
Oh, there are plenty of doctors that overcharge, but here's the thing. The other doctors that don't overcharge can't make any money off of Medicare. So why would they do it? Why would you do it? One doctor
that charges $160 for a visit.
Mm-hmm. There are people that overcharge. There's no doubt about that, Lorraine. But the vast majority of doctors who would like to participate aren't going to participate because there's too much paperwork. And secondly, because they can't make any money off of it.
Oh, man, I don't know how everybody's going to afford that.
Think about this. This administration is comfortable, if not insistent, that the oil companies be allowed to make all the money in the whole world. They're allowed to gouge us and then engage in windfall profiteering at our expense. But a doctor who helps heal people, they can't make any money off of Medicare? Help me with that.
Oh, brother. Well, if they do away with that, then you wouldn't have to have a supplement, right?
That's fact.
Because my supplement, is every time I get a year older, they raise it. I pay $3,000 for a supplement.
Jesus. That's crazy, Lorraine.
Yes, it is.
That's crazy.
And I thought we were going to be entitled to a raise.
Well, unless your name is Mr. Oil Executive, you are not.
Well, I think you'd have to live in a shack and have an outhouse to get any money from this government.
And I still don't think that would be enough to be able to allow you to pay for your medicine.
No, boy, I tell you, it's just getting out of control. Why do they pick on Medicare?
Because this is the agenda of this administration and those who support him.
Mm.
Thanks for your call, Lorraine.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. David, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, pretty good. It's just the same about this, about what Rosa Parks, where they're doing her.
It's awful. It's awful.
No, and how dare they say she needs some diversity?
How dare they say that?
She stood up for what she believed in.
Stood up against white racism. Let's be clear. And this is a whitewash attempt by Francis Slade to redefine history, to tell lies about history in front of all of our faces. In front of all of our faces, and to work it into a political advantage for him. That's what this is about. Because he defines the future of, and I'm reading off of their own cheap invitation, Future Hopes and Aspirations, Martin Juan Raphael.
the National Conference and Justice of National Conference for Community and Justice of Metropolitan St. Louis, Missouri. There you go.
He's just being low down.
It's awful.
It's low down.
Mm-hmm.
And this judge, Miss Martha Walsh.
Judge Margaret Walsh.
Margaret Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to call down there today and demand that she's fired.
You ain't lying.
Ain't
let there have been one of us on the judge stand, called her out her name.
Okay.
What you think will happen?
Okay. Tell you what, I will get the phone number for the administrative judge office for Margaret Walsh, and folks need to call down there and demand that she step, that she lose her job. Okay?
You ain't lying. She needs to be removed and fast.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Thank you so much, Dave.
Okay, thanks.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
This is Stanley. How are you this morning,
Liz? I'm outstanding.
Same reason why I called. You know, there have been Democrats in the city for years, so I think you'd be smart enough to change, don't you?
Actually, I think political affiliation has nothing to do with it, because there have been Democrats, black Democrats, that have acted in the interest of all citizens of the city of St. Louis. What we have, really more so than Democrats, we have scaredy-cat Republicans that are ashamed to not call themselves a Republican and run under the cover of being a Democrat.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you the proof of that,
C-SPAN. The proof of that is, you look at, I know plenty of people, I don't want to hear any crap like that, because that's not evidence. The evidence of my assertion that there are plenty of Republicans and plenty of scaredy-cat Republicans that are afraid to run as a Republican because they think that they can't get elected, look at the voting patterns in South St. Louis. South St. Louis voted for George W. Bush. South St. Louis did that. There are enclaves in South St. Louis that are so Republican that most of the people voted for George W. Bush. There are plenty of Republicans. And how do you determine what a Republican is and what a Democrat is? You look at the policies that they advocate. That's what you look at. You look at the policies that they advocate. Francis Slay, Republicans are for privatizations, Democrats are not. Francis Slay supports privatization, Republicans are for school vouchers, Democrats are not. Francis Slay, vouchers. Republicans are against the Roe versus Wade, they are anti-choice. Democrats are pro-choice. Francis Slay, anti-choice. So help me help you. The fact of the matter is Francis Slay invites Republicans to stand with him over Democrats. Go call Carnahan and ask her if she thinks Francis Slay is a Republican or a Democrat, how he stiffed her to invite Republicans to stand next to him at his inauguration. Ask her. Ask Francis Slay who he meets with on the issue of schools. Is it the Democrats? The Black Caucus? Or the man-child? Matt Blunt. There is no courage in Francis Slay. That's why he won't come out as a Republican. There's no courage in that scary little man. That scurrying, scary little man who can't look you in the eye or his hands shake. I saw him in the debate with Irene J. Smith. His hands were shaking. Cowardly little man. Hands were shaking. Because he couldn't stand up to the face the truth to an African woman who was exposing his fraudulent behavior. He's a coward and won't say he's a Republican. Makes you a punk. Pitiful punk. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello, Liz. This is Ben from White Rose Society.
Ben, good morning.
You know, the thing that upsets me most about this Rosa Parks celebration is, you know, they would not have done this a year ago.
Mm.
They are wiping their feet on her grave.
Ouch. That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, they wouldn't have been brave enough to do this a year ago.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
Because she could have said something about it.
Fact. We had to wait till she died? And now people are grasping the political capital.
Yep. Which they don't deserve. Absolutely. Because were they there at the time, they would never have supported her.
Ben, can I just say this? How many times since 1955 has December 1st passed?
Many times.
Okay. How many decades have passed since 1955? How many December 1sts have we had since 1955? And how many times has this city celebrated that day? None.
I'm guessing less than a couple.
I'm saying less than zero. Fact of the matter is they haven't done anything. This is all about political gamesmanship. And I love your phrase, they're wiping their feet, their dirty feet, on the grave of Rosa Parks. And hopping
on her use for her.
That's a fact. Ben, thank you so much.
You take care.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. In the next hour, a powerful, powerful book, All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. You're going to hear some things about what happens to these babies. It's going to break your heart. Yeah, you are going to have your heart broken. Don't miss the next hour when we talk to the author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. It's time during this holiday season to take a look at how people really live in this nation, this country of plenty, right? I'll be back.
Christmas Eve.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Spady Road, local for all roadways reopened after an earlier stall has been cleared, but traffic still jams at 270, then continues slow most of the way through Hanley. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, look for maintenance operations having that ramp closed. You can use 11th Street to get around. Northbound 55 between 44 and 70. Look for heavy volume due to an earlier debris that's on the roadway. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge. Look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way into Earth City Expressway. Look for everything to be on the move. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44. Slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from West Florissant, look for traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 270 between 111 and Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 is stop and go all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 64 at 25th and 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Lindbergh at Waterford, there's an injury accident in both directions. Old Halls Ferry between Dunn Road and Whisper. Look for crews widening the roadway there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works. Granite Works just got a new shipment of beautiful granite, exotic new colors from Brazil, like jade green, at very affordable prices, as little as $38 a square foot. Visit or call 862-6300 today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy this morning and early afternoon, becoming partly cloudy. Occasional flurries in the morning with a high in the mid-30s. For later today, partly cloudy, colder with a low around 15. Friday, partly sunny with a high around the upper 30s. Friday evening, not quite as cold, partly cloudy. through the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Saturday, look for mostly cloudy skies. There's a chance for rain and or snow throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34, but the wind chill makes it appear as though it's 22 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
Congratulations to Joe Garcia, producer of the Global News Update, a feature of the Morning Wake Up Call. Joe, along with Liz Brown, are the 2005 winners of the Best Spot News Award from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. We always knew Joe was a winner, and now you know too. Again, congratulations to Joe Garcia. Another reason to listen to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The Sixth Amendment says,
in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury.
Did you know that even today, 95% of the world's jury trials are held here in America? Juries are one of the ways American society guarantees the rights of citizens on trial. It may not be perfect, but it's the best the world has to offer. Unless you don't answer your jury summons.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
Your right to a jury trial is like so many other American rights. It comes with a responsibility. We all hope we'll never need a jury of our peers, but somebody needs one every single day. We owe it to our fellow Americans to answer that call. The American justice system is the envy of the world, but it only works when we do our part. The American jury is we the people in action. It's National Juror Appreciation Week, and the American Bar Association Commission on the American Jury reminds you, do your jury duty.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, our special guest is Nell Bernstein, author of All Alone in the World. This book tells the story of an 11-year-old child trying to reconnect with her mother who has just gotten out of prison. But it also tells the story of how mandatory drug sentences are tearing apart children, lives, and the fabric of society. The incarceration of nonviolent first-time offenders has pushed prisons past capacity. Last year, drug violations accounted for more arrests than any other offense, mainly because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. What happens to the children in this cycle? Join Nell Bernstein for a heartfelt perspective on this divisive subject Thursday morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
August and September, summertime is done. Days of sweet November grow shorter one by one. Autumn leaves are falling and winter time is near. It's getting very close to that special time of year. The snow will be the whitest. Stars will shine their brightest. Bells will ring out merry.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, I just happened to turn on early this morning CNN, and they were interviewing Time and CNN's chief correspondent in Baghdad, and he was refuting almost everything that Bush said yesterday, that it wasn't true, that if it had some truth, it was maybe 10%, that the Iraqi brigades are not trained to fight, many of them won't fight, that the U.S. carries the burden of every battle in both manpower, firepower, and air power. It was a frightening interview, and it's, but it shouldn't surprise any of us. But here's the tragedy. The most powerful man on earth is in a fantasy world, but he has the greatest firepower and military strength on earth, and he can do what he wishes with it, and apparently he does not know what he is doing and will not even recognize the truth. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, get to me. You want to know about the type of country that we live in on the anniversary of the act, the courageous act of Rosa Parks? Hampton University. It's a black university. Students at about 200, on about 200 campuses across the country participated November 2nd in an event sponsored by the nonprofit group The World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime. It encouraged students to walk out of classes to signal dissatisfaction with the Bush administration. Student organizers at Hampton in particular didn't want to encourage people to just stay in bed sleeping, so they created flyers. They focused on current Hurricane Katrina, Sudan, homophobia, and other issues. We wanted to talk to students and encourage them to think about what's going on in the world and how they can make a contribution. The whole purpose was to get the student body aware and take an intelligent action. 30 minutes, this is on a black college university campus, 30 minutes into their distribution effort that was peaceful, various campus cops showed up saying that the administrators viewed the activity as violating the university policies. Officers took down student identification information from 7 of the approximate 20 organizers. They also shot video footage. Six and seven of the students have since received letters from the administration inviting them to expulsion hearings, stating, specifically you were observed posting unauthorized materials which advocated student participation in a protest activity that has not been registered or approved. Some of the materials advocated actions considered to be a disruption of the academic activities of Hampton University. Are you scared yet? This is at a black school, y'all. This is at a black school. They're going to expel these babies. University policy says that the distribution, posting, affixing with adhesive staples of other means of unauthorized handbills or advertisements on university property is strictly prohibited. Students identified and found to be involved in such activities, in addition to having all materials confiscated, will be reported to the Vice Principal of Student Affairs for disciplinary actions. Students interviewed on Tuesday said that pro-business and conservative, again, this is a black college, Pro-business and conservative groups seems to have an easier time being recognized on campus. A university spokesperson said that all groups are given equal opportunities. Huh. If that's so, then why did administrators refuse to respond to requests or comments on what has happened at the hearings? Huh. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. That's the America that you're living in, folks. That's the America that you're living in. On this black campus, the campus chapter of Amnesty International has said he's had trouble gaining formal recognition from the university. For the past 3 years, the former director of student activity lost our paperwork. They're going to be expelled. Expelled. On a black university campus. Lord have mercy. 4540400 is my phone number. There's much work to be done. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Can we hear some Frosty? 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. It's kind of cold out there. The snow's kind of slowed down. But it's cold out there, baby. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Frosty, yeah. Frosty the snowman was a jolly happy snow. With a corn cob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the snowman is a fairy tale they say. He was made of snow. But the kids all know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic there where those silk hats they found.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Everyone at WGNU extends congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communication Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake-Up Call, and with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update. Congratulations, Liz, from your friends and colleagues at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Baghdad. Word is out that the American military is again running short on precision-guided bombs in its latest attacks against the Iraq insurgency. This latest deficiency comes as a result of so many of them being used in recent campaigns in Sunni strongholds in Anbar province. A similar shortage happened after the huge American offensive in Fallujah last November. These devices are used in areas where collateral damage is a consideration. They can also be used to penetrate concrete bunkers as thick as 6 feet. And Dateline Washington. With Congressman Randy Cunningham crying his eyes out because he got caught taking bribes, we thought you might like to know what it was he got illegally. Here are some of what the prosecutors uncovered. $200,000 wired to an account to buy a condominium in 2001. A fancy yacht bought by a co-conspirator and moved to his personal boat dock for his use. $13,000 to purchase a Rolls Royce in 2002. $18,000 to pay for auto repairs on that Rolls Royce shortly after he got it. A $7,000 French Renaissance commode he purchased in 2002. $1.6 million to buy a mansion in Del Mar, California. And $525,000 to pay off a second mortgage on another home in Rancho Santa Fe, California. His positions on the powerful House Appropriations Committee and the House Intelligence Committee allowed him to sell his votes to various entities in order to get lucrative defense contracts and a share of the reconstruction money that's being thrown around in Iraq. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, our special guest is Nell Bernstein, author of All Alone in the World. This book tells the story of an 11-year-old child trying to reconnect with her mother who has just gotten out of prison. But it also tells the story of how mandatory drug sentences are tearing apart children, lives, and the fabric of society. The incarceration of nonviolent first-time offenders has pushed prisons past capacity. Last year, drug violations accounted for more arrests than any other offense, mainly because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. What happens to the children in this cycle? Join Nell Bernstein for a heartfelt perspective on this divisive subject Thursday morning at 9 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Guided by a shining star, to where you are, to see the face in the wise men from afar came to see the child born of a
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. For those of you that want to call and demand the firing of Margaret Walsh, you can call over to the City Courts building at 622-3231, 622-3231. Ask to speak to Margaret Walsh, Administrative Judge, or her other number is 589-6967, 589-6967. The name is Margaret Walsh. She's the woman that looked a African woman in the face and called her a ghetto bee in full court, in open court, and told her to sit at the back of the courtroom. The number is 589-6967. Her name is Margaret Walsh. Bill on a car phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I was reading the West End Words newspaper yesterday.
Okie dokie.
This week's issue. Okey-dokey. On page 4. It's an article about the swimming pool in University City whereas the city doesn't want African Americans to be able to use the lap space in the swimming pool unless they pay $75 to use the lap area in the pool.
Black folks?
The lap area.
I understand that.
Lap swimming.
I know what that is. I'm saying black folks. They don't want black folks to use.
Right. It's a nice article. It breaks it down. It's like something out of the Rosa Parks era.
Mm.
And you have things like the people are unsanitary. We don't have enough locker space. And there's a black mayor there in the article who's carrying water for this ideology.
Mm.
It's sad.
I will read the article.
You read that pretty good. It's
all
not
right.
Cheryl Ugly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Bob.
Turn
your radio down, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry, Liz. Liz, like I always say on my call, I just love you because you are so smart. And you just opened my eyes up to something this morning. In 2004, I had an incident with two white officers that came in my house. Well, it was kind of bad. So what I did was my family said, hey, what we're going to do? We're going to do this the right way. Let's call the NAACP. Let's write them a letter. Let them know what happened, and we'll take it from there. We done that, and we didn't hear nothing back from them. So we called and find out. They said, yeah, we got the letter. We'll be getting in contact with you. Liz, if they call me, you called me. And that made me think when you said that this was the one in St. Louis, the chapter here, they never even called me back, Liz. Never.
They never will, but they certainly will be standing next to Francis Slay at every opportunity. They were missing in action on the school board issue.
Oh,
they've been missing in action on the police issue. They are missing in intentionally so. They're so busy carrying the water for Francis Slay that they are a feckless, worthless, impotent organization in the city of St. Louis.
You're right. You are so right, Liz, and I just want to just thank you again.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Josephine.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning, Josephine.
May I change the subject?
Sure.
All right, a happy holiday to you and yours.
Same to you.
And all our senior citizens out there that are going to be alone.
That's right.
Yesterday I had an experience which I'd like to relate to the older people.
Sure.
I walked into my kitchen and I had the smell of rotten eggs. Well, the day before I had cleaned my stove. And I didn't get all my pilot lights lit. And that causes a smell of rotten eggs. I just thought all of us should know it's from the gas.
That's right. That's right, Josephine.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you and good luck to you.
All right. Take care of yourself, Josephine. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I love what she said about happy holidays to those that are going to be alone. That's why we're going to talk to the author. That's one of the reasons we're going to be talking to author Nell Bernstein, who's written the book All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. Mm. This is a look into the lives of children and their families. Nell has spent the last 5 years researching and writing about children of prisoners. And one of the powerful components of this book, All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated, are the voices. She includes the baby's voices, their words, about the life that they're experiencing. One little boy that she talked to, a 15-year-old, Terrence, left alone to fend for himself after his mother was in prison for a nonviolent drug possession. He says, I think they shouldn't have took my mama to jail. Give her the opportunity to make up for what she did. Using drugs, she's hurting herself. You take her away from me now, you're hurting me. Mm. We're going to be talking to author Nell Bernstein in the next hour, author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. Mm. My name is Liz Brown. Let me get to some of you all. Rob, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Liz. Just something in regards to your story yesterday about that poor woman in Denver who had to show her, quote, papers.
Oh, show her papers to ride the bus.
I looked at the calendar. I thought it was 1936. And it said I-44. I thought it was the Autobahn to Berlin. It was terrible.
Isn't that awful?
I know.
Isn't that awful?
I'd be the same. I wouldn't show anybody anything.
And she's going to jail right
now. Yeah.
She's
it's bad enough having to show your passport and no one even looks at your picture.
It's awful. It's awful, Rob.
Yep. Have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. Dolores, good morning.
The top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
The rest of the day to you, Dee.
Thank you. Congratulations to you and Joe.
Thank you.
We're so very proud of you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
I called down to talk to Margaret.
Uh-huh.
She's not taking our calls. A lady named Kim answered the phone and referred us to the mayor's office.
Oh, why?
I told her we want them to have an interview with her. We wanted to have a press conference. Perhaps she wasn't heard properly.
So they're not taking any calls?
No, Kim answered the phone after I was on hold for 10 minutes.
You sound like she'd gotten other calls?
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right,
keep
now.
Keep up the good work.
All right, and keep calling, because don't call Francis's office. Call her office. We want to know why she said that and that whether or not she's going to step down.
Okay, Dr. Brown.
All right, thank you, Dee.
Right.
My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back in the next hour with the author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. Stay with me.
Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Mixed reports out of Ramadi in western Iraq, where witnesses say masked gunmen roamed the streets and opened fire on U.S. bases and government offices. The U.S. military says there's been no significant insurgent activity and no casualties reported. ABC's Miguel Marquez has more on the area.
Ramadi is the place that is closest to Baghdad that they can launch attacks from. The U.S. seems to think, because of all of these other operations that have gone on in the Euphrates River Valley, that the insurgency has now set up shop in much greater numbers in Ramadi, and that it may be the location of the next big offensive.
There's word of a U.S. Marine killed in Fallujah. U.S. military officials say terror leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi may try to wreak more havoc in the run-up to the December 15th elections in Iraq.
He has 15 days to conduct horrific acts of violence that could potentially disrupt the democratic process. That ain't going to happen. We're going to continue our decisive operations against him and his network to ensure he doesn't have the ability to accomplish his objective.
Major General Rick Lynch briefing reporters in Baghdad. Today is World AIDS Day. There are rallies like this one in India and around the world. The UN's calling for an exceptional response to a global crisis. Fashion designer Kenneth Cole has organized a high-profile T-shirt campaign, a star-studded message set to travel the world.
We All Have AIDS, first of all, will be, I believe, the largest public service campaign to address this whole new chapter of AIDS, which is about stigma in the history of the disease. We will reach over 1 billion people, we anticipate, in the next 30 days alone.
A so-so start to the holiday shopping season. Retailers like Walmart report gains of more than 4% over last year. Stores that didn't discount didn't do as well. Experts hope rising consumer confidence and sliding gas prices will help. This is ABC News.
Jim, there's a big alarm clock on your lawn.
As for the big Saturday sale at Sears, yeah, there's going to be hundreds of great deals throughout the store.
So what's with the clock?
Oh, well, Saturday morning between 7 and 10, Sears is giving $10 reward cards to the first 200 customers. Want to make sure I'm up on time.
Stop! Sorry, just testing.
Looks like we'll all be up on time.
Come in early. It's going to be a big Saturday sale. Wish big. Sears.
Must be 18 or older. Limit one per household. While quantities last. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/305.
With interest rates below 4%, refinancing still makes sense. Call Quicken Loans at 800-719-8422. Because now, for a limited time, Quicken Loans is offering mortgage rates starting below 4%. Call 800-719-8422 and see how low your house payment could be with a rate under 4%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. For mortgage rates lower than 4%, call 800-719-8422 now.
A newly released document adds some fuel to the controversy over where Supreme Court nominee Sam Alito stands on abortion.
Judge Alito not only personally opposed abortion, as he stated in a Justice Department job application, another 1985 document shows he helped devise a Reagan administration legal strategy to restrict and eventually overturn Roe v. Wade. The Washington Post says that's the crux of a memo Alito wrote as an assistant to the Solicitor General. Senate Judiciary Committee Democrat Charles Schumer called the memo stunning, but Alito's supporters say he was simply a staff attorney helping to carry out the directive of a pro-life president. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Emily the cat returns. The tabby vanished from her Wisconsin home 2 months ago and wound up in a cargo container that landed her in France. Workers there used her tags to ID her. Continental Airlines offered to fly her home. Business class. A spokesman says she probably won't drink champagne, but at least she'll rest. Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a woman is in custody on charges that she stole a cell phone and credit cards from North Glendale Elementary School. Elizabeth Jones of Ferguson was arrested this week in Granite City, Illinois, after someone recognized her from a surveillance tape. Jones is charged with 3 counts of forgery, 1 count of stealing a credit device, and 1 count of stealing under $500. She is being held on $40,000 bond. Illinois State Treasurer Judy Bartopenka is throwing her hat in the ring in the governor's race. Topenka made her official announcement yesterday in a 4-city fly around to the state. The Republican says she will use her experience as state treasurer to win back the governor's mansion for the GOP. Topenka says she expects President Bush to back her campaign and even to join her on the campaign trail. Mike Martz says he'd like to return to coach the Rams this season. Conflicting stories are circulating concerning whether Martz is healthy enough to return or if Rams management wants him to return. Ram players say they care more about his health and his return to the sideline, but would welcome the return of their head coach. Quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick says the players are behind their coach.
Well, I mean, he's our head coach, and, you know, obviously his family and his health come first, and, you know, we're behind him 100% whatever he wants to do.
Defensive back Ron Bartel says the players hope Martz is healthy enough to return.
I mean, he's a head coach. I mean, what can I say? If he's healthy, I mean, I just want the man to be healthy. Everybody's just concerned about his health. He wants to come back. I mean, that's his prerogative. He's the head coach. The guy drafted me. Why wouldn't I want him back? I mean, I have no problem with that at all.
The Rams face the Washington Redskins Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. Finally this hour, the Blues host the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight at 7 o'clock. The Note has lost 2 of 3 meetings with the Blue Jackets this season, including a 4-3 defeat last Saturday at the Savas Center. The Blues are looking to snap a 3-game losing streak that has dropped their record to 4-15-3, the worst mark in the NHL. Columbus is 7-18-0 after beating Minnesota last night in a shootout. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Ashley Furniture Home Stores, the place to go for unique and stylish accessories, and no interest and no payments till 2007. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood, South County, in O'Fallon, Missouri. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Pier 1 Holiday Sale. Eastbound 44 at Elm, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Expect delays near Sappington. Northbound 270 between Doherty Ferry and Manchester. Look for cleared bumper that has been removed from the roadway. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Lafayette, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 at 370 in the Blanchett Bridge, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 between 44 and Marshall, expect heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into 170 looks good. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB. It's stop-and-go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Everything is running smoothly. Lindbergh at Waterford, there's a report of an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by a Pier 1 Holiday Sale. At the Pier 1 Holiday Sale, you can save up to 50% on everything you need for holiday decorating and entertaining, everything to deck your halls at Pier 1. Life more interesting. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly cloudy this morning and early this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy with occasional flurries in the morning. The high should be in the mid-30s this evening. Partly cloudy, colder with a low around 15 for Friday. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s Friday evening. Not quite as cold. Partly cloudy and early in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for snow and or rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under cloudy, blustery conditions, we have 32 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 22. So stay warm out there. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my...
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Our email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. And every single day the Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's the award-winning Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. We are live on the internet. You can call up all your friends from Xenia to Zimbabwe, and they can check us out at www.wgnu.net. Those are my digits. Handle my business. Handle your business. It's just a couple of weeks ago. It was a couple of weeks ago. Has it been a couple of weeks? That we, the Wake Up Call, had our second annual Wake Up Call blanket drive for the homeless. And I'm looking out the window this morning on a gray and cold and snow flurry day, and thinking about the lives that we touched when we got up Saturday morning after receiving over 3,000 blankets and sleeping bags and hats and gloves that people bought at the scene, and went, bought hats and gloves to give to people too. I saw that, and I'm reflecting on that. And the thing that comes to my mind that touches my heart so deeply is, or are the images of people coming up with children. The cool thing was, is we gave away blankets that were still new. They were still wrapped in their plastic, brand new blankets. And some people said, oh, thank you so much for this blanket. I have something to give to my children. The babies out there that are in homeless situations. I also am reminded, as I think about the babies in homeless situations, the babies that have so much needs, their parents have so many issues confronting them. I think about a book, another book called Motherless Daughters. And I came to know that book because the author wrote an article to the New York Times probably 6 years ago now, 6 or 7 years ago now, about how we are turning into a society. Hope Edelman is her name. We're turning into a society that has... We're so willing to put women in jail. We're so willing to... It is so easy to separate children from their mothers. And we refuse to acknowledge and take on the responsibility of the cost of that. I lost my mother at an early age from cancer. I know how it feels to go through life without a mother. Her book, Motherless Daughters, is a profound examination into the cost of having a society that so easily separates a child from a mother, and the way that we have now reduced the role of a mother into a it doesn't have to be, it ain't that important type of a thing. We as a society will be judged, should be judged, must be judged based on what we do to the least of us, to the most vulnerable of us, to the future of us, our babies. Looking at this book, All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated, written by Nell Bernstein. And I just have to share part of the introduction before I get to the author, because I want you to feel the place where we are in this country at this time, while all of us are sitting here breathing and listening. A child is born under armed guard in a public hospital in a remote rural county. After 48 hours, he is lifted from his mother's arms, bundled in hospital blankets, and handed to a social worker who will drive him back to the county of his conception and deliver him to strangers. A 4-year-old peers at his father through scratched plexiglass, shouting to be heard over the staticky phone, "Daddy, come out of there!" She roars in frustration, dropping the phone and banging her fists against the glass. A 6-year-old crouches behind his bed as armed strangers ransack his home, breaking through floorboards, throwing his parents to the ground. Downstairs, 2 police cars wait, one for his parents and one for him. A 9-year-old burns his hand trying to make breakfast for himself and his baby brother. The 2 have been alone in an empty apartment for almost 2 weeks since police removed their mother without explanation. Eventually, a neighbor will notice the boy out pushing a stroller by himself and will call Child Protective Services. An 11-year-old struggles to reconnect with a mother who has been recently released from prison. The woman's drug conviction means she can't live in public housing, she can't receive welfare, and she can't obtain food stamps. After several months of fruitless job searching and sleeping in a shelter, she accepts an offer from the neighborhood cocaine dealer. This time, when the mother goes back to prison, the daughter refuses to accept her calls. A 16-year-old sits in a cell inside a juvenile hall, replaying in his head the words he's heard all of his life. You'll wind up just like your father. And he finds an odd comfort in finally fulfilling this expectation. And finally, a 22-year-old makes frantic phone calls from county jail trying to find someone who can help make her bail. She's pregnant and terrified of giving birth behind bars. Her own parents were in and out of prison during her childhood, leaving friends and relatives to raise her. She had sworn she would give her children the life she never had. But the cycle of imprisonment and loss is beginning to feel like a tide too powerful to fight. Words from All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. Nell Bernstein, welcome to the Wake Up Call and good morning.
Thank you, and thank you for that beautiful introduction.
I am struck. I am shocked. I mean, I represented at one time mothers accused of neglect and abuse. I was an attorney with the Special Public Defender's Office representing people accused of crimes, and I am struck by the numbers now. How many children are we talking about who have a mother and father in prison right
now?
Well,
the numbers are pretty unbelievable. 2.4 million kids have a parent who's incarcerated right now. 7 million, or 1 in 10 of all kids, have a parent who's either in jail, in prison, on probation, or on parole. And 1 in 8 African-American kids has a parent who's behind bars today. So if you think about the number of kids who've had this experience at some point and are still affected by it, it becomes almost unbelievable.
And has this been a gradual increase? Have we just incrementally gotten to this place?
Well, you know, it depends what you mean by gradual. It's really something that's happened in the past 20, 25 years. The prison population has increased something like eightfold over the past 25 years. Not because we've suddenly become a much more violent society. In fact, the opposite has happened, but really because of changes in our sentencing laws and specifically our laws around drugs.
And the other piece of it, too, Nell, that is just heartbreaking, and that's why I talked about the book, Motherless Daughters. Women. There's a whole new industry involving getting women into the prison system.
Well, that's really what's changed. The new prison numbers, the federal government releases numbers every year, and they came out a few weeks ago. And again, we've surpassed both every moment in our own history and every country in the nation in terms of how many people we incarcerate. But again, the number of women behind bars has grown at twice the rate of the number of men. That's been the case for several years. So what's happening is neighborhoods that had already over the years been drained of fathers are now being drained of mothers. And people are still talking about single-parent families when I'm meeting more and more kids growing up in no-parent families.
Mm. Talk to us about why we wanted to write this book. Why was it important to you to create a story about All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated?
Well, you know, I think there's a big picture and a small picture answer to that. You talked about a society being judged by how it treats the least of us, and that was actually one of the titles I thought about for the book. I do think it has everything to tell us about the country I'm going to raise my kids in.
Mm.
I mean, there's a famous quote from Winston Churchill that something to the effect of you can measure a society by how it treats its prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
But Nelson Mandela said you can judge a society by how it treats its children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these kids are sort of the intersection of that. Specifically, 8 or 9 years ago, I was doing some reporting on foster care, and I met this kid named Ricky, and I asked him how he had come to find himself in foster care. And he told me that one day when he was 9 years old, the police had come to his house and taken his mother. He never actually found out why, and literally left him in the apartment with his baby brother, who was under a year. You read a little bit about him when you read the introduction, but I talk more about his experience in the book. And this kid did spend 2 weeks taking care of the baby, changing the diapers, making the bottles, until somebody finally noticed that he was alone. And that was so mysterious to me. How could a human child be that invisible within this system that had so much effect on his life, that really kind of began my investigation?
And I'm just thinking, as you're talking about Ricky, is somebody came and took his mom, and they saw the kids there.
Yeah, and, you know, when he told me that, I mean, I carried that story for a few years thinking it was this strange, exceptional thing that had happened. And then when I began explicitly reporting on what happened to kids when their parents were arrested, I just kept hearing it. I had a kid who had spent nearly 6 months alone at the age of 15, and again, police had taken his mother, and in his case, they kind of looked over their shoulder and said, call someone to come take care of you, but he didn't have anyone to call. I should say that's the exception. Most often the stories kids tell, they were at school when mom got arrested, and nobody thought to ask her if she had kids, so they came home to find themselves alone. It's not typical that police will actually walk away from children whom they can see, but I read an article a few weeks ago in Police Chiefs Magazine, which is the trade magazine for police chiefs, which also described a number of cases in which this had happened and sort of talked about it from a liability perspective. So it's happening.
And I think it's important now to talk about the types of crimes that separate children from both their mothers and their fathers. When we talk about, as you described, a fivefold increase over the last three decades of people being put in prison, what are the types of crimes that are putting them there?
Well, it's an interesting question because over that same period, the number of people who are behind bars for drug crimes has increased 12-fold. About two-thirds of the people in state prison have been convicted of a nonviolent crime. And it's interesting, I did a very brief morning drive time interview earlier this morning, and the first question that the guy asked me was, you know, yeah, it's, and I hear this all the time, it's hard for the kids, but their parents have committed horrific crimes, and people have been hurt by those crimes, so they need to be in prison. I think that we assume that once somebody's in prison, there's a body. But in the great majority of cases, that's not the case. And
does that really come from ignorance or just self-righteous intolerance?
You know, I want to say ignorance. I mean, I've been traveling to promote the book, and so I've been a little more tired than usual and watching perhaps a little more television than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that every single thing on the television is now a crime drama.
Honest to God, I saw a report yesterday that the top 15 shows, and I looked at them, 90% of them are all about crime.
And I'm trying to watch television to get a little break from thinking about this stuff. You can't flip the dial enough. And I think that, but there are never kids. It's so interesting.
And it's never balanced either, because I remember back in the day with Hill Street Blues that there was a balance. You heard both the defense side of the story and the prosecution side of the story. You're not hearing both sides
Although,
of the story.
The Wire is a wonderful exception to that.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you know, you don't see dramatic stories of a woman who couldn't feed her kids, so she wrote bad checks and went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those aren't the crimes that we see on television. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, it's the news also. Any horrific crime anywhere in the country is now going to be broadcast everywhere. So, you know, I don't think that it's some kind of horrific self-righteousness, because I have found that once I get out there and start talking to people about who's really in prison and why, and how their kids see them, which is as people with a problem who need help, people's minds change very quickly. And, you know, the other thing, though, that I've learned from the kids is, I might have been one of those people 6 or 7 years ago who would have said, it's not the government's business. If somebody uses drugs, the government shouldn't be involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids have really schooled me in the need for some kind of a response, because they've let me know the harm that they have suffered in homes where there are drugs. The thing they've also let me know is that our response, rather than making things better for them, almost universally makes things worse. And that's the real heartbreak, is that they're dealing with incarceration and they're still struggling with whatever problem led to it because we're not fixing it.
And describe for us, if you will, what these children experience if they have the opportunity to visit a parent that's behind bars.
Well, that is, it's a grueling experience. And I should, you know, sort of say a couple things. One is, more and more kids don't get that opportunity. Most parents in state prison have never received a visit from their children.
Because?
And that was not the case 10 or 20 years ago. Well, we've had to build a huge number of prisons to accommodate all these new prisoners, and we've put them mostly out in the middle of nowhere, where they become sort of rural job development programs. But most of the kids come from the cities, and so they just can't get there. In California, where I live, we've put the great, great majority of the mothers in two women's prisons in a town called Chowchilla, which is about as far from Los Angeles and the Bay Area where the kids are as you could possibly put it. The other thing I want to say is that I'm going to describe some pretty horrifying visiting experiences, but the kids told me over and over, and research shows this also, that it's better to visit even under difficult conditions than not to, because when kids are quote-unquote protected by not being allowed to see their parents, they really become convinced that their parents abandoned them by choice, and that's more painful than any visiting experience. But there's two kinds of visiting. When a parent is first arrested, they're going to go to county jail, and almost exclusively in the county jails, you've got the window visiting with the glass and the telephones. And especially for small children, that's not just inconvenient, it's incomprehensible. I mean, they will bang on the glass, they'll beg their parent to come out. I heard about one toddler who became so hysterical when he couldn't break his mother out of that box that he wound up in the emergency room that afternoon. They just could not get him to stop crying. And since county jail is where you go first, it's actually most important that a child visit then to know that his parent is alive and safe and loves him. Once that parent is sentenced and convicted, she'll probably go to state or federal prison, which will likely be quite far away, but does have more often a large open room where some physical contact is allowed, although that's often strictly limited. But that's still set up in a way to be quite scary for children. They're often searched. Some prisons do a diaper peek on the theory that there might be drugs in the diaper. So it's a pretty traumatic experience for kids.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to author Nell Bernstein. She's the author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. We'll be taking some of your calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back. Stay with me.
In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay.
Take on the day, and take on Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the internet at WGNU.net.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9, right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
And now, the Lincoln Middle School Poetry Club.
Mothers, daddios, You've already given us so much, so we're not asking you to teach us Dutch. Just a little involvement in our school is cooler than cool. Because studies show a little participation increases our chances for graduation.
A little involvement goes a long way. For ways to get involved in your child's school, join your local PTA or visit pta.org.
A message from the Ed Council and National PTA.
All of us at Radio Free St. Louis congratulate Joe Garcia, who produces the Wake Up Call Global News Update, winner of the 2005 award for Best Spot News from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Joe's talent and hard work have contributed to our programming for many years and helps to make our morning program the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Once again, congratulations to Joe Garcia from everyone at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Toll-free long-distance number, revolution@lizbrown.com, LizBrown, LizBrown.com. And we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web every day, 24 hours a day, at www.wgnu.net. My guest this hour is author Nell Bernstein. She is the author of the book All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated. And Nell, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let me get to a couple callers here. Marty, you have a question for our guest, Nell Bernstein.
Yes. Good morning to you and your guest. And I'm enjoying your conversation with the topic this morning. But the sad part of it is this country kind of has an industry in the drug industry. Because I don't like to call it a drug problem. I call it a drug industry because we can sit up here and bring all this stuff in or go attack some other country for all kinds of reasons, but we can't stop drugs from coming in here. And then the people who have to go to prison and they can't touch their kids when any child situation, they know that touching or being held by the parents, that's one of the things that's very important in raising a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's very sad that they find ways not to prevent that, because I think that, you know, I'm kind of teetering on a situation like this myself. I think keeping parents close to their children when they want to stay involved is very important.
Thank you. So
thank you very much.
Marty, thank you so much. And now, can you speak to that? I'm sure there have been studies about the necessity of the physical contact.
Well, it's so funny because, you know, for every child except those whose parents we incarcerate, we're constantly talking about the need for bonding and attachment and, you know, even the benefits of a child being able to nurse. And I did talk to researchers who talked about, especially with babies, touch is what the relationship is. You know, an infant doesn't write a letter to mom. And one thing that they've pointed out is that if a mother or a father, for that matter, is incarcerated for a couple of years when that baby is young and not allowed any physical contact, there really is not going to be a relationship between them when she gets out. And what happens a lot is the mother gets out and she'll say, I just don't feel the same about this child as I do about my other children. And it's very frightening to her, and it reduces her ability to care for that baby. So the caller is absolutely right. We're taking something that we absolutely know in our hearts and based on science is fundamental for our children, and sort of systematically removing it from them and then complaining about a lack of family values. Mm. So, yeah, all I can really do to respond to him is agree with him.
And, okay, there are situations set up that don't allow many parents to actually come in contact with their children. How about being able to call their kids or the kids call the parents? How does that work?
Well, that situation is just crazy, and I discovered it because as I began reporting this book, I needed to take collect calls from prisoners who were part of the story, and I can't describe my shock when I looked at those first phone bills. Mm-hmm. The way the prison phone system works, you can only make collect calls, and those are billed under special contracts that each state sets up with private providers, and they are not billed at twice or three times the normal rate. They're billed at between four and as much as 20 times the standard rate, and some of that, it's done in the name of security, and some of it does go into things like monitoring the calls, but most of it goes back to the phone company as profit and to the prison system or the state as essentially a kickback. And what that really means is, let's say it's grandma who's taking care of the kids, which it often is, she's got to pick between letting those grandchildren speak to their mother and buying them shoes that year. It's very, very common for families' phones to be cut off within the first couple of months of somebody's incarceration. There's one woman I report on in the book. The father of her children has been incarcerated for more than two decades. Her name is Liz Gaines, and she's been keeping track over those years, and her tally recently crossed $50,000 in collect calls.
And again, we're talking about whether or not a child has access to their family over the phone in an environment that the prisons are being built further and further and further, making it impossible for the kids to visit.
And, you know, it's so interesting because a word that we use a lot when we talk about why we incarcerate people is accountability. We need them to be accountable. But what we're really doing is making it impossible for people to be accountable, contribute to their families, make up for what they've done. In Oregon, which is a state, one thing I did in the book was I went around the country and I looked at places that were doing things better, that had really taken kids into account. And in Oregon, for one thing, they recently built a new women's prison, and they put it right outside Portland, which is a huge step forward. And then what they do is they let the women take the money they earn at their prison jobs. They all answer phones for the DMV in this prison in Oregon and buy phone cards so they can call their family without draining that family of resources. And it had such a huge impact on the whole family for the women to be able to, if not contribute something, at least carry their own weight in that one regard. So it's not anything that we couldn't do.
How long has this been going on with Oregon?
You know, the initiative to include children in the correctional mandate is probably 6 or 7 years old. I think the debit cards have only been around for, the phone cards have only been around for a couple of years. The federal prison system also, I think, allows you to buy a phone card with your prison earnings. So we could do it. We would just have to give up what's essentially a windfall.
Let me get to another caller here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Nell Bernstein.
Yes, I do. Good morning, Ms. Bernstein.
Good morning.
It sounds like you've done a very thorough job in exposing a little talked about situation in this country and the victimization of children as a result of what I think is collusion between the police and the judicial system. My question to you is, I'm certainly going to acquire this book and read it because I'm very interested in what you're saying.
Thank you.
But I would hope that you would write another book about and widen your scope to the international scene. And I can think of two examples why I'm saying that. The indiscriminate bombing in Iraq and that children who are killed are just written off as collateral damage. And in Israel, Israeli soldiers can shoot Palestinian children with impunity if they think they're acting in a suspicious manner. And again, I thank you for the book, and I'm certainly going to get a copy of it. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Dimitri. And now this goes back to the observation that I made in the beginning about whether it's some kind of we're at a place, I believe, that we don't look at children as valuable. We aren't concerned about children. And did you get that sense when you interviewed the prisoners or interviewed the children and the parents and the agencies? Do we really care about what happens to kids?
Well, you know, that is the central question. And the other question is, when we talk about our children, do we really include all children under that umbrella? And I think the gentleman's right. That's a domestic and international question. And I want to tell just one story that I think encapsulates it. I mentioned I had seen an article in Police Chiefs magazine, which looked at a few cases in terms of police liability. And there was one case I knew about because it's the only case, I think, in which the courts found the police liable. And this was a case where they pulled a gentleman over on the freeway. I think he was drag racing or speeding at night, and he had his three little nephews in the back of the car. So they arrested him, and in this instance, left the little boys in the back of the car and by the freeway at night. And in this case, two of those kids wandered out into traffic, and one was hospitalized. He was asthmatic and wound up in the hospital with severe pneumonia. So in that case, the courts found the police liable. But there was another case I'd never heard of in which they pulled a woman over because they saw that her two-year-old wasn't in a car seat, pulled her over to tell her to get a car seat, ran her license and saw that she was driving with a suspended license. So they arrested her and left that two-year-old with an older sibling, again, just literally on the street. And in that case, although it was 9.5 hours before anyone was able to retrieve that hungry, wet, screaming two-year-old, the courts found that the police had not breached any responsibility. So that, to me, really indicated that, because what I couldn't figure out was 10 minutes earlier, as a society, we cared enough about that two-year-old to want to make sure he was in a car seat. But somehow once his mother crossed that line and became a quote-unquote offender, it's like this cloak of invisibility or not mattering fell on that child. And that's what I saw over and over, that once the parent was seen to have somehow violated the social contract, those children also were pushed out of the social contract and became sort of not our responsibility.
And regardless of whatever the violation is, we're not talking about a gunshot or machine gun Mary out here. We're talking about someone who was driving without a license or suspended license.
You know, well, there's that. And I have to say, I started reporting the book, I think, with perhaps a bias towards those cases in which a parent had committed a nonviolent crime.
Mm-hmm.
But Liz Gaines, who I mentioned, who's this amazing woman who runs the Osborne Association, which supports prisoners in New York and who has supported her children over the decades in keeping in touch with their father, who's incarcerated for felony murder, really has reminded me that if it is Machine Gun Mary, the kid didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The kid still needs and deserves the same level of care and the same respect for his relationship with his parent, even if that parent actually needs to do life, that any other child does. So I've tried to stop sort of putting kids into categories based on what their parents did.
Mm-hmm. And if one quick point before we take a break here, is there any kind of written protocols that a police officer is supposed to follow when they arrest someone that has children there?
You would think, but there's been national research and some state-level research that has found quite clearly that the great majority of police and sheriff's departments don't have any policy or protocol regarding children at the time of a parent's arrest. So what that means is, you know, it kind of comes down to officer common sense. And most officers will not do what those who arrested Ricky's mom did and leave a kid alone. But it really just kind of happens on a case-by-case basis.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to the author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated, Nell Bernstein. We'll be back. Please stay with us. Thank you.
wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Oklahoma City. A former deputy assistant director with the FBI says a new investigation into the 1995 bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City needs to be implemented. Danny Colson had a key role in the original investigation and has had much experience in domestic terrorism cases. Colson said in a recent interview that he thinks others who were involved with Timothy McVeigh have never been charged in that crime. Several weeks ago, FBI teletypes were released, and they seem to indicate more people had their hands in the bombing. He cited a memo from January 4, 1996, from former FBI Director Louis Freeh to a select few offices around the country. In that memo, Freeh indicated that a German national by the name of Andreas Strassmeier warranted further investigation. Colson says Strassmeier lived with several bank bandits in a town called Elohim City, and they all need to be looked at. McVeigh's phone records indicated that he had called Elohim City on April 5, 1995, and also placed a second call to a Ryder truck franchise nearby asking to speak to Strassmeier. This was about 2 weeks before the bombing took place. Elohim City is a small settlement near the Arkansas border that has connections to the Aryan Nation and violent white supremacists. Strassmeier served as the paramilitary instructor for that settlement during the time just before and after the bombing of the federal building. This is your wake-up call global news update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I had no pain. I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke. And I was only 49. If only I'd known. If only I'd listened.
The complications of diabetes often go undiagnosed and are far more serious than you might think. Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. But you can reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Learn how. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
It's not too late. Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer would
move. Congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of 2 2005 Excellence in Communications Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake Up Call. And with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update Series. When we call it the award-winning Wake Up Call, we're not kidding. From everyone at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, congratulations to Liz Brown on an outstanding job.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm talking to the author of All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated, Nell Bernstein. Let me get to another caller or two here. Denzel, you have a question for Nell. Denzel. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fast. Now, one of the things that, before I get to another caller here, let's talk about the children of incarcerated parent or parents. What about the grandparents? Are they able to step in? Did you find that there's a huge role for the grandparents?
I mean, a huge role. I dedicated a chapter to grandparents. You know, because when a father is incarcerated, it's pretty likely that that child will stay with her mother. But when it's a mother that is incarcerated, in the majority of cases, the children wind up with a grandparent. And usually that's, you know, an elderly, poor woman whose health is beginning to fail right when that kid hits the teenage years and gets difficult. So those are fragile families, but of course also families in which there's a lot of love and a lot of struggle. The thing is that the grandmothers, in most cases, either get no support or don't get anything close to what an unrelated foster care provider would get. So those are definitely struggling families.
Why is that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just got back from Little Rock, Arkansas, where I was doing a book event. But Little Rock is one of the places that I visited in reporting the book because there's a fantastic organization there called Arkansas Voices for the Children Left Behind, which advocates on behalf of the children and also supports the grandmothers. And the grandmothers there are becoming advocates, and some of the grandmas came to the book event. And the things that I saw in Arkansas were just unbelievable. The grandmothers wept as they described to me what they went through when they tried to get a little bit of public assistance. They might be told that they could get it, but their child would be billed for it when she got out of prison.
Jesus.
There was one woman who the state had been collecting child support from one of the children's father for years and years, but wouldn't give it to her because the mother was in prison. And this organization fought to get them to release the child support, which had added up to, I don't know, $15,000. And they did. But first, they paid themselves back for welfare that this grandmother had received on behalf of four children, three of whom were not the child of this father who'd been paying the child support.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe $3,000 left. They gave it to her, and then they cut off her welfare for all four children because that $3,000 put her over the asset limit. So, you know, I asked Deanne Newell, who runs the program, you know, these women they're carrying the weight. And as she pointed out, if they were to suddenly withdraw their voluntary services, they'd break the back of the state. So why are we going out of our way to make things harder for them? And she said, you know, the attitude is, you messed up with one generation. Why should we help you mess up with the next?
And that goes back to my point of the question of how we view children.
Yeah, how we view families.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have three more minutes here, and now the time has gone so quickly. If there were one thing that about the way that we handle incarcerated, the children of incarcerated parents, one thing that you could change, what would it be?
It's going to be hard for me to pick one. I have a whole chapter which suggests changes. But if I had to pick one, I think I would say we'd have to revisit sentencing and really look at it through a child's eyes, look at whether a locked room is the only response to whatever it is that we're responding to, or whether in some cases there's another response that would protect families and also protect public safety.
What about some kind of Miranda rights for children?
Well, that is one thing I suggest. You know, and it's kind of amazing because there has been a prisoners' rights movement in this country. Prisoners don't have a lot of rights, but they have a couple, like the right to food and health care. Their kids don't even have that. I think that when police arrest a parent, just as they're now required to read that parent his rights, they should, in some developmentally appropriate way, communicate some basic rights to a child, like the right to be safe and protected, the right to know where that parent is, to visit that parent. I do think that there should be a movement for children's rights, and I work with a group in San Francisco that's developed a Bill of Rights for children of incarcerated parents. And if your listeners are interested, they can look at that on our website, which is SFCIP, S-F-C as in cat, I-P-P dot O-R-G.
And where can people get a copy of your book, All Alone in the World, Children of the Incarcerated?
Well, you can certainly find it on Amazon and I hope in your local bookstore. I'm told Barnes & Noble has it.
And
I think there's an independent bookstore in St. Louis that has it as well.
Nell Bernstein, that's B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N. Nell, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
All right. This is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back, same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Something happened in Ramadi. Witnesses in the U.S. military are telling different versions of what went on in western Iraq. ABC's Aaron Katursky has the story from Baghdad.
People in Ramadi say hundreds of insurgents claiming ties to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi attacked government buildings, took over streets, and launched rockets in the city. Major General Rick Lynch says it never happened.
When I hear reports about